The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
What's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard? You're a moron. A pretentious moron.
And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I cared about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. We are basking in the glow of a Patriots blowout in Buffalo, 52-28. 45 points in the second half, 31 of them in the fourth quarter alone. Unbelievable output by the Patriots once they got going. And who knows why that happened all of a sudden? Who knows why it didn't happen in the first half? But we're going to talk about it. We're going to wrap up the Bills game, and then we're going to turn our sights towards a big 425 matchup
on, penis head.
On Sunday against the Denver Broncos, and, of course, Peyton Manning. So it's a big week here at Gillette Stadium. We're excited. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. And Paul's here. Andy's here. Eric's taking his day of leisure.
Leisure.
I don't know what he does on his Tuesdays, but I'm sure it's very important.
It's very boring.
So, guys.
Femaleless.
Are you on board? Are you
like you? No.
Andy, are you, 14-2, number
no.
one seed? No, you're not. You're not convinced.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that they're not going to go 14-2? I might not be convinced of that. They could go 14-2.
What I'm saying is, are you convinced that the Patriots are back?
Oh,
they're
going to
breeze through this AFC in.
Well, I feel
the
like
AFC
I did
East,
before
yes.
that I wasn't worried and all that, but I am not. I have not changed for the positive my assessment of this football team based on, I don't know, 22 minutes of good football. And one of the reasons for the turnaround flat out was they stopped fumbling the ball. When you have two of your best players turn the ball over, that's a reason why you're in a dogfight that you shouldn't be, and they didn't miss more field goals. I mean, they were more productive offensively in the first half
than seven
points.
Absolutely. I agree totally. And the other team, by the way, didn't stop.
Right, they
fumbling
kept
the ball and
giving the ball
over.
Away. So that was kind of how that game hinged. One team stopped turning it over, the other team didn't, and it got out of hand quickly. But I don't feel great about some aspects of that game that I saw that lead me to believe, okay, everything's good, the defense is awesome, the offense is awesome. I mean, we're seeing the team we expected and I think hoped for in that second half, and that was three or four games now you've now put up 30 points. So you're a 30-point offense like we expected you would be without Aaron Hernandez, without whatever.
Right.
You're a 30-point offense. Defensively, we had some concerns, but we thought we had young playmakers who would fly to the football, and the hope was that they'd make plays, that you'd get some turnovers. That's what you saw in the second half against the Bills. So I think we're seeing the 12-4 type team we expected. I still think they're going to struggle when they play Houston or San Francisco or the Ravens again. They're going to be in a dogfight, but they're now the team I expected to be 12-4 and beat up most of the teams they should beat up on.
Paul, do you concur?
I do. And listen, to me, the reason why I wasn't overly nervous, and I would have been nervous had they lost this game. I'm not going to lie and try to play that off. Andy and I were sort of going back and forth all week. I kept saying, so really, if they lose this one, it won't make you nervous. It would have made me nervous, and I will admit to have been nervous during the game. I thought there were times where they looked like they were on the way to a loss. Evidently, unlike Fred, who
no.
bludgeoning.
21-7, nothing.
However, I just look at the AFC East and the disarray that the division is in, and I was never really concerned big picture in terms of being able to do what it takes to run roughshod over that division. AFC, I'm not ready to say, as Andy said, that 20 minutes is enough to say, oh, they're better than Houston now, they're better than Baltimore now. Maybe they are, maybe they will be. We'll find out over the next 12 weeks where they stand, but really, I thought it was it's been a very uneven four games, and Sunday was a very uneven game.
If there is it just a matter for you, the lack of consistency? Is that what's holding you back on saying, okay, this is you know, if not the best team, the second best team in the AFC?
Well, no, the defense still worries me.
So
I mean,
still the defense.
I'm still concerned. I mean, you saw we said this was a real poor man's Ravens, that they had some guys that could probably make some plays, and they put up a lot of yards, they moved the ball, and you know, you look at the Devin McCourty, the first turnover. To me, that was a hair from being a 94-yard touchdown pass. If it's not underthrown, it turns into a turnover. That's
put
good.
That on Fitzpatrick.
You took advantage.
Oh,
you caught the ball and you took advantage, and that's great. That's a good individually, that's
week,
a step positive
last
for
week
Devin
against
McCourty.
Flacco, as Andy pointed out during the game, you know, he dropped that one.
Yeah, I think last week against Flacco throws it further.
No,
and it might
I know.
Be a touchdown.
I'm just saying he had two opportunities.
You have a crap bum quarterback,
and
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick blows. I just the fact that they invested in him and said this is our guy, I just never see it. And he puts up numbers. Now, I'm not going to say never. He's not competitive in the NFL. But if you want to win, if you think you're really going to be challenging the Patriots.
He's a 20-30
guy.
Your
guy.
And it's funny because, you know, Andy and I have been talking a little bit this morning. Just overall quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, he's one of those. He has his moments. But I kind of agree with Andy. To me, he's a guy who will always give you chances to make picks. And, you know, I'm not putting the game on Ryan Fitzpatrick in terms of the interceptions. I think a couple of them came late when they were just desperate to try to. But, you know, you can't miss the throw that he missed early in the game that allowed McCourty to pick that pass off. Any quarter, that's not a hard throw. That's not a hard throw. If anything, you know, as Brady always says, you overthrow it.
Right.
Those to me, that can't happen. And that's a game changer. Because not only it's seven that you don't get on a play that you've set up, but now you give the other team the ball in your territory. That's a really, really bad play by Fitzpatrick. And I think that's the difference in the division, Freddie, is, you know, I know it's a cliche, but the other team's just lacking where they need to, you know, no one can compete with Brady in this division. And that's why, you know, you say the whole AFC, well, I think Peyton Manning and Matt Schaub and Joe Flacco and Phillip Rivers and some of the other guys, they can't compete with Brady. I think Brady's better than those guys, but I think they can compete with Brady. And therefore, the game can be more competitive. Ryan Fitzpatrick and Mark Sanchez can't. They can't compete with Brady.
Or Ryan Tannehill.
As much, well, we'll find
out
about
him. I don't know enough about
him. He's young. But as much as I'm worried about the defense, there were some great plays by that defense. You know, Brandon Spikes made two great plays. That hit on the goal line was about as good as you're going to get in terms of keeping a guy out of the end zone, stopping a momentum play, all of that. And then the two plays Vince Wilfork made, getting his hands up for the interception early, Mayo comes down with it, and then the hit on Donald Jones. I mean, you have individual playmakers. They move Chandler Jones around a little bit. That worked a little bit. Hightower was active early before the hamstring. He came around, chased him early on in a play. So the individual talent I'm feeling better about. But I still can't feel great about giving up 28 points and 400 and something yards and all. You know, it's a work in progress for a team that didn't have their running backs, too, that at full health, clearly. Right. But the individual plays on defense, I'm getting intrigued and excited about.
Okay. Is there any chance
that... What I'm really excited about, Freddie, sorry to step on you, but to piggyback on Andy's point, there was six turnovers. Usually we kind of look at it and say, wow, that was a terrible throw. And we focused on the one throw that Fitzpatrick made early that was terrible. But I thought they were takeaways, too.
Yeah.
They had three, you know, they weren't just giveaways. The two fumbles were enormous hits by Spikes. And the tipped interception that Andy talked about with Wilfork and Mayo, that's a takeaway. Those are really good plays. And I think that you're starting to see some signs of those a little bit more often. And maybe if you could turn it to being a playmaking defense as opposed to sort of hoping that the other team makes a mistake. There's a subtle difference there.
And there's been great teams that have, like, that. One of those Rams teams had a ridiculous, I think the Patriots are like +8 right now.
Well, New Orleans did it in 09.
+40 or something like that. I mean, you can be one of those teams. And the Patriots right now, that's what they are. You know, it helps when you have 6 on Sunday. But
right. I still find it inexplicable how the Patriots offensive line completely dominated this front 7 that, you know, is supposed to be pretty good.
You should.
I just don't understand. I mean, look, I'm thrilled, but to have Bolden and Ridley do what they did, you know, so right up the middle at times, just nothing fancy, just plowing right ahead. And if you look at the replays, guys like Solder and, you know, the interior guys just sealing guys off with no problem.
That's well said, too, the interior guys, because it's Donald Thomas, Ryan Wendell, and Dan Conley.
Yeah.
You're not facing, you know, Steve Hutchinson in his prime here or Logan Mankins.
Getting on their guy and just sealing off.
This is what
I'd be saying if I were Ralph Wilson. Where did my $100 million go? Where did my first-round pick go?
But how do you explain that? Is there an explanation?
Well, I mean, I don't know why it was so much better this week than it was last week, because they try to do the same thing as they did against Baltimore. And I think they ran a little bit more inside than they did last week. And I also, you know, something that Andy and I got a lot of criticism for after the Ravens game, instead of Danny Woodhead 15 times, it was Ridley and Bolden getting those carries between the tackles. When you want to put 6 guys in the box and try to stop the guys with no... The Bills didn't play linebackers on Sunday. Arthur Motes and Kelvin Shepard didn't play. Basically, when you want to do that, you have to run for 200 yards. Against Baltimore, they couldn't do it. They had light fronts against Baltimore, but the Haloti-Nadas of the world dominated those matchups. On Sunday, it was the Patriots offensive line dominating those matchups against, you know, Darius and Kyle Williams.
So those guys are just,
see how I did Darius?
Yeah, Darius. So those guys are just overrated.
Well, on Sunday they were.
Well, I think we knew Mark Anderson was overrated. He's not a 30-minute
Andy made this point during the game. Notice where all the touchdowns went. Where'd they go? Who'd they run at?
Yeah.
Left side, Mark Anderson.
Ran right at Mark Anderson every time.
And I'm down on Mario Williams. And it's not so much, I think he's talented. He's good. You know, he may have just had a bad game. But to me, he lacks the fire that I'm looking for in a centerpiece player that I'm building my defense, $100 million around this guy. Oh, I don't know. He's just like, ho-hum, we'll move on to the next. You got embarrassed. You laid down.
I want that one to leave a mark for my $100 million free agent signee. You know what I mean?
Patoon.
I want him, you know, we used to make fun, you know, like, well, you don't want the guys always sitting there saying, hey, it's on me, I got to do better and this and that. But I want that one to be on him on Sunday if I'm a Bills fan. I you know, and he brought those comments to my attention this morning. And
you can't.
That's unacceptable.
You can't miss on $100 million players in Buffalo.
Right.
You can't.
No.
Listen,
that's your budget.
I'm probably more lenient.
All right, pack it up. That fails.
Right.
I'm probably more lenient on his play on Sunday than most people. I've been hearing all kinds of criticism, and he deserves it. He didn't do anything. Jerry Callahan made a funny point saying not only he was 10th on his team in tackles, he was the third Williams on the list of tackles.
Who's the other one besides
I don't
Kyle?
Know. I don't know, but he said that he was the third Williams in terms of tackles. I didn't look that up, but
is there any...
I'm not giving him a pass for playing.
Son of a bitch, A. Williams.
Oh, Aaron Williams, the cornerback, yeah. Again, it's not about how badly he played. Oh, ho-hum. But I'm much more upset about the fact that it doesn't seem to be that big a deal to him.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, and I know that they all care. But to me, like, remember Fred Jackson after the Bills beat the Patriots last year? Remember how much that meant to him?
Right.
And you almost like sat there and said, you know, was mad, you know, Freddie, you were really, really mad after that game. But you almost looked at a guy like that who's done nothing but lose and nothing but play hard and with, you know, dignity. And you looked at him and said, well, you know what? I feel good for a guy like that. Fred Jackson wasn't feeling good after that game. He wasn't saying, how'd you put it, Andy? Well, you know, it's just one game. We got to move on to the next one. Fred Jackson didn't have that reaction.
No.
And this sort of
game
falls in line with Rodney's criticism of Mario Williams going to Buffalo instead of going to a place where he could compete for Super Bowls.
Right. Isn't that important.
Right. He's just going to collect a paycheck either way and move on.
But give Sebastian Vollmer a ton of credit for absolutely owning him throughout that game.
Is there a chance that one of the reasons that game happened the way it did is that Chan Gailey was just completely and utterly outcoached? I mean, here's two teams, division teams. They know each other. They know each other really well. They know the personnel well. Maybe not Mario Williams so much because he's new to them, but they know the personnel on each other's teams really well. And sometimes, you know, that can lend itself to a, you know, crazy, you know, real tight game. But also sometimes when things go wrong,
I think that's
really
just an excuse, though, that's taking the players off the hook. For
yeah, I think yeah. it's the players.
Getting their hats
no, but there was no adjustment made, it seemed.
Well, I think that you have to sit there and say, I need to stop their running
right.
game with what
yeah.
I have. This is, you know, Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius are good players. There's no reason for those guys to get gashed like that so consistently. That, to me, is on the players. That was their plan. They said, look the
and
pitches,
it's what Paul has
the pitches
has said.
Didn't do
if you
anything
want to run the ball, run the ball.
Yeah.
But they just kept running the ball.
And they put 52 on the board. That's
so
unacceptable.
Are you saying they should have gotten their linebackers on the field
maybe.
And then made
yeah.
the pass beat
no,
them?
No, because then you get beat by the pass.
But they were getting
you saw what happened.
Ball. Like,
but plus, the other thing is you were up 21-7.
Four of those plays started on first down with passes to Welker for
right.
those drives.
Yeah, but short little passes that they'll take all day long.
Yeah.
But, it was the
yeah.
running game that killed them
yeah.
on Sunday. And not only that, how many times Andy and I like lost track? How many times they have an incomplete pass on first down and run for 11 on second down?
Right, yeah, that's true.
That's on the players. You
they
know,
get their
you
asses
know
kicked.
That they did. They got beat six ways to Sunday. I mean, it was just domination.
So that leads you to believe they're overrated. That's how I look at it.
Well, that's how I came out of the game.
2 weeks ago, it was the Arizona Cardinals. We said, and then the Cardinals dominated. Calais Campbell, Darnell.
So there's
Dockett.
No chance that
the Patriots
never look back. This is who they are, and this is the turning
point.
Oh, I don't
know.
Well, against
season.
Teams like Buffalo, yeah.
Well, no, I'm talking
that's
about.
That's who they play. That's know, the schedule. That's why I think, yeah, there's a chance they could go 14-2.
I mean, Denver's a pretty good team.
Pretty good.
If they blow them out, what do you say?
Well, can I see the game?
Well, I'm saying.
Was
yeah.
it
I mean,
a blowout
blow
like
out
this?
Because like I'll say the same
that
thing.
That didn't start till midway through the third.
No, I mean, if it's one of those games where maybe the score isn't, you know, not 52 points, but
no, but I'm saying,
the game,
are they down 14? Should have been down 21 at one point.
No,
I won't say the same thing.
If it's one of the games where throughout, you know, the Patriots have this one.
No, I don't think that much of the Broncos. I think they're a good middling team. They, to me, they're not the elite in the AFC.
And then
you don't play them until Denver.
You play the Jets twice, Miami twice, Jacksonville, Buffalo again. I mean, those are all colossal blowouts.
Jags.
To me, those are all blowout games.
Houston is the measure.
Houston and San Francisco, to me, will be tough games.
But I'm just saying the AFC.
And you got them both
Houston.
At home.
Yeah. But even that, I don't care where it is. If they go out and have a solid, dominant game against Houston, I'll say.
You don't think going to Seattle might be tough and
no.
winning in Seattle?
Shouldn't really be.
No, it should be a 20-plus point win.
Russell frickin' Wilson.
How do they hold up? How do they compete?
I'm asking you
offensively.
Guys. I'm asking.
I mean,
you.
That's 2 weeks away. We can talk about
now,
that
now. The
next
swarming
week.
Defense, and that might be an issue.
Something like, about that.
But that you could have a tight game. The score is held down that you control.
Right.
You know, you're probably not going to put up 500 yards of offense that day against that defense. But you could put up 300 and something yards of offense where you had two or three nice drives. You made the play you need. You win 21-10, and I go. That game was never in doubt. It was, you know, it may have only been a one-score game at some point, but that game was never in doubt.
So Sunday proves nothing.
No,
I didn't say it didn't prove anything.
I'm just asking.
Proves nothing for me.
Aberration.
No, I didn't say aberration. There's a difference between those two things. I told you it's the team I expected coming into the season.
Yeah.
Young players on defense that I hope are going to make plays and an offense that's going to score you 30 points every week.
And I would say both teams are who we thought they were. I thought Buffalo sucked going into the game. You didn't. You thought they were good.
Well, not me, because I thought that front was better than that.
If
I didn't think they would get bent over like they did.
If you simply just focus on the Patriots' offense, does it say anything to you? Does it make a statement? Does it cure any of the ills that you thought
What
they
are you looking for
on?
Me to say? It might be easier if you just force-feed me what I'm supposed
if you,
to say
If
here.
You turn the ball over six times and don't score close to 50 points, then your offense isn't as good as you thought it was.
And we let them off the hook!
So you take the six turnovers away, and they're back where Andy talked about. They're a 35-point team. That's what they are.
I mean, we knew they wanted to establish
the
run,
offense?
Right? They had more success in this game than they've had in others, but
we learned
we knew
Brandon
they wanted
Bolden
to do that.
can maybe be a part of this offense. That's something that we didn't know.
I
going
think Brandon
in.
Bolden looks the way we thought Maroney was supposed to look like. I think that's the that,
can
when
we
I
just pump the brakes
when I look at
no,
him.
No, I'm just giving him credit for one game.
Well,
I'm not,
I just, when I look at him, that's
well, you know who looked what Lawrence Maroney was supposed to look like? Lawrence Maroney at certain times in his career, like that game at Cincinnati where we had him in the Hall of Fame and we were writing about all the pain he attacked people. You know, it's one game. Can we pump the brakes a little bit? The one thing I was thinking about, a weird...
I knew you guys would start fighting.
Our butterfly effect theory. Had Joseph Addai not quit in his conditioning run, Brandon Bolden's probably not on this team,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because they clearly kind of had a role in mind for Brandon, I mean, for Joseph Addai. So, like, you just wonder how things like that change, and you wouldn't have this 100-yard effort. Maybe they're not as bad. Maybe Adai's not as good, and blah, 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 down
maybe
the line.
Maybe Addai would have run for 212.
Why? Never did in his career. The guy blows.
Because you never had those kinds of holes when he ran.
I don't think Danny Woodhead would have had 212 yards yesterday.
God, no. Well, and by the way, that's kind of what we're talking about with Danny Woodhead. You know, lower the snaps a little bit, lower the plays that he's involved in, and you can get a big play out of him. Andy wrote
Take Tuesday.
Andy
he's
wrote
on Take
Tuesday,
Tuesday
today.
For the good play, the 17-yard touchdown, a breakdown,
an
ad
play. It's a huge play.
As Bill Belichick said, if we don't have put a good drive together there, we might get knocked out of this game.
And that was
despite the fact that you say it was an easy blowout.
And
that the head coach said they were close.
And that was improvisation. The both
forced.
Of them, you know.
I went back and really watched it. The first read on the play was Rob Gronkowski at the sticks, right side. They had trips right. Gronkowski was the inside guy, just off of Vollmer, and he ran right down, did a little out cut. And it's hard to tell on the footage whether he stumbled over his own feet, whether he got tangled feet with the guy covering him, but Brady was going to go there, and as soon as he looked there, he was stumbling to the ground, falling on his face. The pressure kind of squeezed in. Brady stepped up. That's when he had to run left, and Woodhead on the left side was an initial out, about at the 10.
And covered,
but Brady wasn't going there. That initial out wasn't an option because he has decided he was going to the Gronk side. By the time he comes back, Woodhead's run the out, turns it back into an inside slant. Brady ad-libs, throws, and Brady's getting pressured. He had both Mark Anderson and Williams on his butt, Kyle, one of the three Williams brothers. And then he made a nice athletic play to burst up field, break one arm tackle, another arm tackle, touchdown.
And Brady rolling to his left, too, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a pretty easy throw. There wasn't anything between Brady and Woodhead when he made the throw.
That was a nice play by Woodhead.
It's a great play for Woodhead to adjust, come back, kind of turn into a little slant downfield. And, I mean, it's Nick Barnett. It's not some jag linebacker. It's a pretty good player. I think he had like 15, 20 tackles in
the game.
Well,
he's the only linebacker who played.
So that right there is the type of play. It only takes one, but to me, that's a huge play in the game as it unfolds later. You get a three and out on the next defensive series. Now it's 21-21. And then, Fred, the blowout begins.
Right.
Not at, you know, the first gun that you told me it would be.
Oh, did I say when it would happen?
Yep.
I just said it would be a blowout.
I don't know how you can say you weren't worried and that was just an easy
blowout. Oh, I
blowout.
Was worried.
Okay, then it wasn't a blowout.
He admitted to me after the
If you're worried in the game, home, then it wasn't.
It ended up being a blowout.
On the scoreboard. But as Bill Belichick said, this game was a lot closer than the score would indicate.
So this is it. You can't admit that I was right.
You weren't right.
I have to be exactly right in how it happened.
You know how many tweets I got wanting to know where the piss and vinegar was in the third quarter?
Right, in the third quarter.
So you... I don't understand.
And then they blew them out.
Yes, the score blew them out.
The game ended up being a blowout.
But the game was, it was not the piss and vinegar. No, it was not the piss and vinegar ass whooping that you told me they were
going
to have.
Once they got it going, they blew them out.
Fred, I predicted practically the right margin of victory at 35-10. It wasn't close to the game I predicted at 35-10, even though the differentiation on the scoreboard is, it looks the same.
These games rarely unfold exactly how we think, but I knew that.
And you're claiming it did.
I knew that they would handle the Bills. Once they got going, they did.
I'll let you guys do the fighting.
And had they not turned the ball over twice in the first half, it might
have
happened.
Had Buffalo not turned it over six times, they wouldn't have blown it out.
Game. No, not all were forced. That was,
except for one.
Wait, were the two Patriots ones forced?
What's that?
Were the two Patriots turnovers forced?
Let's go to the phone. Ace-ticket hotline.
I mean, turnovers. I mean, they're bad plays.
It was a close nip-and-tuck game.
I didn't say that.
You know, Patriots stink.
You can keep arguing with Andy. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
If you came here to revel in the 52-28 victory,
Fred,
you came to the wrong place.
Fred, you and Andy can continue to argue. I enjoy it. I like controversy. I like it.
You know, I'm happy about all the turnovers. I'm happy about the young playmakers. You're not.
If you came for sunshine.com, you came to the wrong place.
But basically,
doom and gloom here.
But basically what you're saying is no matter how you say the game's going to unfold, you're right because basically everything you said didn't happen, but that's okay.
All right. It wasn't a blowout.
But that's not how you said the game was going to unfold.
Let's go to Oregon. Chester's on the line. Hey, Chester.
Hey, fellas. Told you so about Bolden. You know, I said something about blocking, but, you know, what a great breakout game for him. You know, Freddie, the reason why that old line won the battle, in my opinion, is that these guys are looking pass first as well as the rest of the league. And, you know, finally we established some running game. You know, again, going back to last week, talking about Tommy tucking that ball a little bit, you know, we're finally starting to see defenses going back to their base. And my point on Bolden before I got caught off last show, is that, you know, he really forces those sub packages to go back to the sideline to get back to base, and then we can really open up that playbook the way we want to. You know, I got to say, seeing those girls in the fourth quarter, you know, they seem more anxious to get off the clock than ready after hernia surgery, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I just got to say, great win. We're 1-0 in the division, and the season starts here, in my opinion.
All right, Chester, thanks for the call. The problem with
it started midway through the third quarter in Buffalo. That's where it started.
The problem with that, though, is
I told you, that just ignore the losses.
Bolden being out there didn't force the Bills back to their base. They were stubborn.
But it's what Paul has said. The king of stubborn over there said, I would let you do that all year long, and you can just run on me, and that's what the Patriots did.
And I think that Buffalo was very happy with that for three quarters.
Right.
Then they turned the ball over four more times in the fourth quarter, and the game got out of hand.
Right.
I mean, we forget that it was 21-21 going into the fourth quarter. Despite all of the yards rushing they had, they didn't get all those yards in the fourth quarter. They ran the ball effectively all day. And to me, I'll take that if I'm an opposing defense, because I can't handle Brady in the passing game. I know that. I have 12 years of experience knowing that I can't handle Brady in the passing game. So I'll take a 21-21 tie instead of being down 38-21.
The one thing I will say is a team that theoretically should have really upgraded its pass rush
didn't get much.
May have wanted to go into situations where we're going to make them throw, we'll know their throw, and theoretically we can go get them. That would be the only thing I can say is if you have $128 million worth of faith in those two guys, maybe you would like to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to go base here, and you're going to stick with your pass. I know your pass, and I'm going to try and go get it.
Yeah, and I would say also, in, to couple on your point, they're supposed to have a strong front four, right? Well, those guys should have been asked to do a better job than that against the run, and they didn't. And they didn't do it all game long. Now, in terms of getting out of base and whatever, you know, you saw late in the game, you know, they look a little bit for some passes in running situations, and they throw touchdown passes. So I thought the Patriots got the game exactly the way they wanted it, whereas the – what was the caller's name? I forget the caller's
Chester.
Name. Chester. He said, you know, you open up the playbook and you can do whatever you want, and that's ultimately where they got the game in the fourth quarter. They just had a lot of help getting there, I thought. That's the only part that I would disagree with anybody on.
All right. Derek is from the University of Rhode Island, and he writes in. He said, hey, guys, and Eric, first I have to stick up for Fred. He was totally right. Even when we were losing by 14, it seemed like we were much better than the Bills and just couldn't put our heads on right. How many games are we going to have four drives in a row that end fumble, miss field goal, and we still win 52-28? Second, Cut Jones from the pregame social. I know you guys want a real host, but the lack of a real host was part of the social's charm. And third, in the postgame, Adam Jones was talking about how the defense looked better, and I think the secondary looked as bad or worse as it has been all this time. Big game for the two lines, though. I thought both the offensive line and Big Vince looked good. Thanks for the show. Stop answering calls from the guy in Vegas. All right. Sounds good.
Now, are you going to yell at him?
No, he stuck up for me.
Yeah, but he was mocking you. And B,
oh, no,
he acknowledged that the secondary didn't look so great.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, aside from
I didn't know if we were talking facts or not.
I would aside from his safeties had a hard time.
Oh, I totally agree with you, Freddie.
Yeah,
the safeties, angle that Patrick Chung took on that long one. Huh.
And they were out of position on the tight end plays too. Even though one of them was ultimately Chung was in the neighborhood, they had a hard time. And that's not a good tight end. That's a run of the mill tight end.
Chandler.
Yeah, he's okay. He's not a stiff, but he's not one of these. You know, laundry list of athletic tight ends that the league has now.
If you did your little rundown of tight ends like you do in
quarterbacks, he'd be in the lower half.
I was going to say he might not make the top 32. Some teams have multiples.
You're right. But the only aside of his rocket shot at Adam Jones on that email, I think I'm on board fully with him.
Emailer writes in, could you please expand on Hernandez's and Hightower injury updates and possible return? Well, we really don't know. I mean, Hightower suffered a hamstring reportedly during the game. So, you know, those things can linger or they can get better real quick. It's really, you don't know. And as far as Hernandez, we're optimistic that he might be back a little sooner than at first expected. But again, we don't know that either. I'm putting him in 3 weeks.
Okay. I was just going to say both injuries. And if you remember, I think it was Albert Breer, the report was it's a low ankle sprain with high ankle characteristics. There's, anytime high ankle is involved, though, that makes it like the hamstring. Like, it's fine. He's getting better. He's, you know, he's running straight now. Oh, he practiced, setback, he's sore. You know, those are very difficult injuries to kind of time. Right. It's why Bill never wants to say, you know, he'll be back in 4 to 6
Everybody
weeks.
Everybody recovers differently. Every injury's a little bit different. So,
but Hightower did, there was a report from the Boston Herald that he was, quote, good after
the game.
According
to a source.
Okay.
Which, take that for what you will. I would bring back Carpenter. I tweeted that yesterday. I don't want Tracy White on the field a lot. And if it's a hamstring injury, there's a good chance even if Hightower plays this week, he could have to leave. You know, he could retweak it or whatever. I'd like to have a little more depth there. I'm not really a Nico Koutavides, Tracy White play defense kind of guy.
Alex from Philly, that's it. I've had it. I am so sick of these terrible calls. The league needs to bring back the real refs. Wait, they are back? Oh, well, in that case, bad calls happen. Nobody's perfect. No need to have an ESPN special over it. Seriously, though, glad to have the regulars back. The games went along a lot smoother than they have in the past couple of weeks. There were still a lot of missed calls, blown calls, late calls, and some of those phantom calls, which is why I agree with Paul that all officials stink, but the regulars stink less, so we don't notice it as much. And it also helps that the media isn't blasting them publicly on a weekly basis. My thoughts on the game. Fred set up Patriots Nation last week by basically saying the Patriots are going to rape and pillage Buffalo, and he was half right. That was true for the second half, but the first half was tough to watch. The offense past their first drive could not get out of their own way, shooting themselves in the foot at every opportunity, putting this D that was playing well in bad spots. But hey, that was all part of the plan, lulling the Bills into a false sense of security, and then bam, six straight touchdowns later, the rout was on. Quick question, are you losing faith in our kicker? I'm not, but a lot of fans are. They are even talking about going for it more on fourth down. And lastly, more Ridley, he's legit. More Woodhead, only in the passing game. More Bolden, screw Vereen, he's obsolete. More Cunningham, less Ninkovich, less spikes in coverage, and more of this McCourty. And of course, more Fred, more Paul, more Andy, less Kevin and Eric, only in small doses.
Now, was that a little sarcasm there in Vereen is obsolete?
I think so.
Okay, that was a little shot at the guy from San Diego.
All right, food's here. Let's take a break. And, Kevin, email Chris. I think there's a problem with the feed.
Oh. Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part. Knows her part.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The emails are flying in. The calls are stacking up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Joe's email first. He's in Michigan. He says, great win in Sunday in Buffalo. It was a comeback win and a blowout all in one game. Anyway, I read recently that the Patriots are 9-0 when McCourty has at least one interception. Is this true? If that's the case, it's hard to argue against him as the most valuable player in the New England defense. In this game, he had two picks, and they won easily. The previous three games, he missed should be easy interceptions and lost two of those games that likely would have been won if he held on to those balls. Hope to hear your guys' thoughts. A lot of love for McCourty, and deserved. He had a good game, but a lot of people saying, okay, he's back. You know, you guys...
No. Do you?
No, I okay. We still have to see a lot.
Would he have been?
Do you
back
think he played that well Sunday?
94-yard touchdown.
I think he played okay. I think, like you said, that early one had Fitzgerald had a stronger arm.
Fitzpatrick.
Than, you know, but is that part of knowing the quarterback and knowing he doesn't have a strong arm?
No.
You don't give them any credit for that.
No, I don't.
Really?
No, it was a terrible throw.
The next time, Fitzgerald overthrew him, as you would say.
Well, the other he undercut the pass.
There was another play.
There was another bomb down the sideline that McCourty was more competitive in his coverage, but the pass went over was overthrown.
Yeah,
you don't let a guy run by you and hope the guy can't get it there.
Well, you do if you know the guy can't get it there.
But there's no one in the NFL who can't get it there.
Okay, All right.
Chad Pennington, three surgeries later, could still lob it up and get it there.
I mean, you might be able to make that argument in high school. I don't think this kid can throw it that far. You're not doing that in the NFL.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Patrick's in Brooklyn. Hey, Patrick.
Guys, how you guys doing?
Good.
I want to say one thing before I go into my comments. You guys have a tremendous show, and that roller coaster disco thing is classic. It really is. All right, at any rate, I thought a big point in the game last week, besides the turnover by Spikes at the goal line, was when the Patriots realized that they were forcing the ball into Brandon Lloyd too much, because they kept going with that back shoulder fade, and that DB that was on Lloyd happens to be really good, because he was like plaster on him. He was glued to Lloyd, and Lloyd really couldn't shake him free. And I felt eventually they were going to get picked off or something if they kept forcing it. And then the moment they went to Welker, things started to open up, and then other things started to happen. The other thing I want to mention is that I had spoken to you guys about the Patriots' lack of ability to close the game out, like in that four-minute stretch. If this running back tandem that they have now is what we think it's going to be, then I think that will allow them to close it out, because sometimes what you have to do, even when the other team knows you're going to run it, you have to be able to make a couple of yards in that kind of a situation, even when they're waiting for the run. And I think that this will allow us to do that. And lastly, I wanted to say that Spikes, it can't be a coincidence that every time he hits a guy in a critical moment, the guy's dropping a ball. This guy's a monster.
No doubt.
You look at him. He's got a lack of speed. He doesn't look like he's good in coverage, but, you know, maybe he's one of those guys you can't worry about what he can't do. Let's look at what he can do. He can hit the hell out of people, and he seems to make a big play when it's critical. I'll hang up and listen, and you guys keep up the good work.
All right, Patrick. I totally agree with that. I mean, Spikes, he is – I don't know what his percentage is for hits equals turnover, you know, fumble, not necessarily turnover, but he can hit. He'll knock your you-know-what off. When he hits you.
The only thing I
disagree one thing with Patrick said about if these running backs are what we think they can be. I think it's more the offensive line. I think I know what Ridley can be, but if the offensive line can play like they played, then I think you're going to be able to do what Patrick wants, whether it's finishing out games or establishing the run early. I think it comes down to the offensive line.
Yeah, I think more often than not, running the ball is the offensive line, and they haven't proven that they can run it when the other team knows they're going to run it
right, and
run out a game. That's lacking.
They didn't run really more than four or five plays when the other team knew they were going to run it
right, on
Sunday.
I mean, you're not going to be running against a nickel and dime defense when you need to do that
right, if
they think you're going to run. On the Spikes thing, the only concern I have, and Paul and I talked about this, I feel like he does the same exact thing on every snap. He sees a spot, picks a spot, instinctively has a spot, and he's running to that spot as hard as he freaking can. Sometimes he hits a guard. Sometimes he shoots through, might be front side, might be backside. Sometimes he meets a running back and de-cleats the running back. It's like, you know what I mean there? And it happened early in the game. He did it. He took him out of the play, and they actually
right, had
a successful play.
Well, didn't we say that when he was coming out of college, that the thing about him is he didn't have a lot of foot speed, but he makes up for it with his instincts?
Yes, that was the positive story, but when your instincts are wrong,
right, it
gives up plays.
Like,
well,
look at the first play.
The very first
play
of the game.
But experience will help him. The more he's out there, the better he's going to get.
And I like him. I like what he brings to this defense, not just forcing fumbles, the whole attitude, excitement. I like when Brandon Spikes is on the field, and the caller's right. More often than not, when he's been on the field, good things have happened. I mean, how many times last year did you say it was his best game as a Patriot?
Right.
And then he'd be hurt, and then his next best game as a Patriot came.
Yep.
He acts like he expects to make a big play.
Right.
All the time. That's why I really like him. He's infectious. And listen, I was a big-time skeptic, and Freddie, I give it to you. I was wrong, because he has definitely made impact plays. I think he makes the most impact plays out of that linebacker corps by far.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Certainly on a...
Paul's waiting for me to go,
per play basis.
Even when I say I was wrong and you were right, he still finds a way to argue.
But you were looking at me like you're waiting for something.
Didn't I accuse him of jumping off Spikes' bandwagon this offseason?
Yeah, well... you might have accused me of that, but you know.
Yeah. Well, that's probably very accurate. You probably did accuse him of
it. No, I'm pretty sure when it came, as I said, Fred, give me your top five playmakers for the 2012 Patriots defense, and I don't think you included him. And you
No, he wasn't the number one guy.
Sure you had Trevor Scott in there.
I think you said Mayo was more of a playmaker.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? I'm right.
Let me tell you something. If your eyes,
which might have been why I was glaring at you after I made that statement.
If your eyes and ears were as big as your mouth and your head, you'd be much better off.
So you're saying you never
you
said
don't
that.
Listen.
So you're saying you never
see.
Said that. You're saying you never said
I
that.
I said Mayo would probably be the top guy. That doesn't mean I don't think Brandon Spikes is going to be good or make
plays. Did you have him in your top five? Because I don't think you did.
I think I did.
I think Trevor Scott bumped him.
Oh, okay.
Does Trevor Scott play?
Please. Again, if your eyes and ears were as big as your mouth.
Your shoulders?
You'd be all set.
I'd be funny looking.
Let's see. Kent writes in, it's Broncos. I mean, Peyton Manning. We can't wait for Peyton to throw up a duck for McCourty to pick off. Love to see Peyton's face. Quick game or question?
That could happen, by the way. He's still throwing some.
Could happen to
guys.
Gregory or Chung or any of
I mean,
of those
he
guys.
Had a great game on Sunday, but I was watching some of the highlights, and there was still some of those completions that they showed that looked like they didn't come out right.
See, I don't care about the wobble because I think he's always done that. How fast is the wobble moving?
No, but slowly. That's what I'm saying.
That's
floaters.
What I need to see because he threw wobbles forever.
They were completed.
Were completions, and you go, son of a bitch, it's wobbling. I should get it, and I can't. What he was throwing was wobblers that were moving at about 20 miles an hour.
Kent says, would you rather, Brooklyn Decker, be in the top five for red zone offense or the top five in red zone defense if you had to be in the bottom five in the other?
Red zone defense.
Yeah.
If I had to be, that's a tough one. You say defense definitively, huh?
Yeah. I think we're good enough. We'll score from outside the 20 on offense. That's what I'm going with. Whereas on defense, I want us to stop them as often as possible.
See, I'm worried about the other way. If I'm kicking too many field goals, I'm allowing my bad unit. Well, no, it's not, it's the options. He's telling me I'm bottom five offense.
Yeah, but
in the red zone, that means I'm kicking a lot of field goals.
In my scenario,
if I'm bottom five in red zone offense, I'm kicking
field goals. Not necessarily, because you could just be bad in your percentage. I'm saying you score a lot of 28-yard touchdowns.
No, that's not how they calculate that, though. They calculate it by when you're in the red zone.
How many touchdowns you score.
Right,
I know how they calculate it.
It's not how many times you get into the red zone.
But I'm not going
But if I'm scoring on a lot of big plays, that eliminates a lot of red zone opportunities, good or bad.
Yeah,
I understand Andy's point. I'm operating under the assumption that it's not a, you know, there's not like a trick to you were bottom five because you didn't have as many opportunities. I'm saying you had as many opportunities as you normally do, and you're just not scoring touchdowns.
Bottom five wouldn't be based on opportunities. It would be based on percentage. Your percentage of touchdowns scored in the red zone.
But you're adding touchdowns scored from outside the red zone. Now,
right.
Now you're adding possessions. I'm operating under the assumption you're getting an average amount of red zone trips. And you're not succeeding on that.
Oh, okay. I'm saying
from outside. No, I get exactly what you're saying.
Like Bill O'Brien. I take my chance plays. I'm taking my chance plays when I'm at the 23.
Yeah, no, I get exactly what Andy's
point
is.
23-yard touchdowns.
Yeah. I don't want.
Because I know I'm not good in the red zone, so I want to take
but
my
if
I don't want a
average,
preponderance
you know.
Of field goals to be putting my defense in position where I have to allow fewer points than I normally would. That's why I'm kind of.
But I'm great in the red zone, so why am I worried about it? They're kicking all the field goals, too.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
The correct answer is I'd like to be pretty good in both.
I don't want to be bottom five in either one of those.
The correct answer is if there's no anomalies on either side, you're probably going to be an 8-8 team.
Well,
yeah, I don't know.
Because one's going to
– like right now, you know, I mean, as kind of shaky as
probably
going to
be
defense,
in the Super Bowl. We've proven in the last few years that teams that are just offense win.
See, now
– but they weren't terrible in the red zone.
The one – yeah, they were last year.
They were?
Yeah. The Patriots
letting up touchdowns, or
yes, they were among the league's
worst.
That's
what terrible in the red zone means.
Okay.
To Andy's point, on a one game situation, you had it this week with Buffalo. They scored three touchdowns or four touchdowns from outside the red zone.
Right.
Four.
That's what I want to do. See,
and
it works.
They got in the red zone only once the whole game. Now, defensively, I know there's been some things to worry about, but they have done a great job of limiting trips into the red zone. It used to be just always, well, you knew they were going to get in the red zone. As a matter of not, we're going to hold them to a field goal. I think they only allowed eight trips to the red zone all year so far. That's not bad. Two a game isn't bad.
Doesn't look as good when you give up three touchdowns from outside the red zone.
I think it was four, too, actually.
Four.
All right.
24-20. 68. And, 35.
Yeah, that's outside the red zone.
but it was funny because I remembered the Brad Smith one, but I forgot the Donald Jones ones. I was trying to
Yeah, 68. That's outside the red zone. Yeah, four touchdowns from outside the red zone. What are you doing, Fred? We're trying to have
with
a show.
Cookie. He's got a pile of regurgitated cookies.
Fred's determined to get
They're
a cookie
phenomenal,
right now.
Though, Fred. They're soft and gooey and warm. I know people love it when I talk about the orgasmic cookies.
All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Everyone's favorite bookmaker, Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hefe. Hi, guys. How are you?
That underworkout.
Yeah, Andy, you and I were both off on that one.
Hey, they kept it under 100.
Andy doesn't recall.
Yeah, I love it. And it's also reassuring to have some Jeff from Vegas haters voice up. There's been a conspicuous absence of that. So I feel better. I feel like the universe is back in equilibrium now.
You know you're leaving a mark when people hate you.
Yeah,
I know from experience.
I took your call under protest. A lot of people are asking me not to take your calls anymore.
Well, tell them to call instead. If the line's full, he can't call. So you call instead, peeps.
Yeah, I'll try and be more polarizing, you know. Better to be never unforgettable than just to be a blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
Apparently.
So what do you
anyway,
got?
99 degrees today in Vegas on October 2nd. Brutally warm. And Paul Perillo was correct. I think it was just too much Brady on Sunday, and Buffalo just can't handle Tom, it looks like.
Not a lot of people can.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, that's the part of the game that got kind of glossed over, and everybody was like, well, you know, it was mistakes and turnovers and stuff. Well, Brady hit, like, his first five passes, then went something like three for his next 11, and I don't know if exactly that's the breakdown, but he went through a long stretch of the second quarter where the Patriots were taking over in Buffalo territory, and they weren't moving, and then they were missing long field goals. You know, it wasn't like they had these, you know, 60-yard drives, and then Gostkowski missed a field goal. They were dominating the field position game and not taking advantage of it, and then Tom was Tom again in the second half, and things improved.
Yeah, and looking forward to next week. It is good, speaking of the universe being back in order, and speaking of hatred, to see Mike Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan definitely on the way out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that place is just crumbling. The fall of the House of Dummies.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's New England minus 7 early line hosting Peyton Manning and Denver. And, again, go with Fred Kirsch. I think New England's going to handle them relatively easily Sunday afternoon.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call.
Did you see Woody Johnson's quote about he'd rather have Romney in the White House than the Jets?
The country's more important.
Much more important, yeah. All the more reason to vote for Obama. Chris with a TIA.
We'd like to keep the political statements off the air, Fred.
Well, if Woody Johnson, you know. Chris with a TIAN.
You know what?
What's that?
You know what?
Chris with a
I'd like to know why he always wears a hat. That's what I'd like to know.
Christian, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good win on Sunday.
Absolutely.
It was a lot of fun. And I don't know what you can really take out of these games as far as, like, progress against the Baltimores and the Houstons, but I think it's important for them, especially the defense, to get that confidence. And I think, well, maybe McCourty didn't have his best game as a Patriot, but to get those two picks is just to build confidence. And players always talk about that, having that and having that swagger. And I think that's what you can take away from these games. So, you know, aside from the 52 they put up, which was obviously phenomenal, you know, certainly want to see the defense have more of those forced turnover days.
Especially for the situation he was in coming off a streak of misses. I mean,
you
don't want another drop, another miss for him personally, regardless of the defense, the game, the situation. You don't want him going down that road.
No, and I mean, and let's hope that Baltimore game was a low point of the season for him and that's as bad as it's going to get and he bottomed out and now from here on out, you know, he makes the plays he's supposed to make and I agree with you. The first one, it was on the throne, but that second one, he made a great fake on the ball.
Wouldn't that be a great story if all of a sudden whatever switch got flicked off got switched back on, and in week four of 2012, he became the good Devin McCourty again? Like,
that would be unbelievable.
And we'd be like, I can't explain this anymore as I can explain why he sucked.
Right.
Yeah, and I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on the safety position and Tyvon Wilson. Do you guys think he should see more time? Based on 2-4 games, he's got two picks and I think it's two fumble recoveries. Or is that just seems to be a guy that might be better in spot duty? Like, would it be a Rob Vinkovich type thing? The more you see of him, the less of a play. Andy, you always say that, you know, the more you see of him, the worse he'll be. Is it that type of thing? Or do you think he could be a playmaker back there for them?
I'd like to see him play.
I think you're going to get a chance to see it.
I've been intrigued enough by him that I want to see what he could be in December when I really need him to be good.
At the expense of Gregory.
Chung?
Well, either one, to be honest with you. I think Gregory.
I'm all for the safety rotation.
Okay.
Gregory, I think, got benched late in the game. After that 68-yard touchdown, I didn't see a lot of Gregory after that. It's hard to tell with me and Andy not being in the press box with you guys. But I saw a lot more Wilson from that point on than I had previously.
Which is funny because I think the guy who blew that play was Chung.
I thought Chung was the main
the
culprit,
secondary
the
problem
main culprit
was...
on that play. Yeah, and who was the guy that I think it was might have been Matt Chatham, our buddy Matt Chatham, who tweeted out, you know, it's a bad play by Gregory there. You got to make sure a bad play doesn't become a terrible one or something like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah,
but
for him to get taken out
over the guy who took, you know,
a terrible angle. He's the
one Brandon Merriweather like angle. I mean, was embarrassing.
But in terms of the turnovers, I agree with Christian. You know, he's got two picks and two fumble recoveries as a result of sort of being in the right place at the right time. It's not like he even with McCourty did on Sunday, he hasn't had a play like that.
I'll take him, though.
But, yeah, I mean, he's shown the ability when the ball's in his hands, he catches it.
If after 16 games he has 16 fumble recoveries and 16 interceptions because he was in, quote, the right place at the right time,
well,
I'll take the 32 turnovers.
It'd be 8-8.
Well, whatever. Okay. You know what I mean.
Speaking
of a bigger a-hole on the planet than
you
Paul
like to
Perillo.
Extrapolate the numbers. I just want to make sure you got them right.
Speaking of guys who need to flip the switch, Stephen Gostkowski, do you think there's any chance on that last field goal that they sent him out there for that Belichick said to him, you either make this or you're cut?
No.
So to make it a pressure kick?
No.
That would make it pressure because Bill did say a pressure kick and it wasn't.
So I'm wondering, maybe there was pressure that he put on him.
I think the pressure he was saying was to make one, just like
internal pressure. Yeah, I think that's the pressure he was talking about. He just missed two.
He didn't take his girlfriend and hold a gun to her throat or whatever you
like
to
do. And it's a game. It's not like working on it at practice. It's still a game.
Right.
That's what the – listen, can I discount that? No, I'm not privy to the conversations on the sideline.
It'd be a great story.
But I would be shocked if he had said something like that to him.
So what do we
make? Do you think there's any chance that
– I think he also –
that he is like on the ropes here?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
Mike Reese wrote it at halftime.
It's not that I think that he's going to get cut, but I think that if he continues doing this,
but for how long? Like,
oh, but that's different. I'm talking about right now. Do you think he's on thin ice right now? Do you think there's a chance that this kicker's working out tomorrow?
No,
well, today.
No.
Today's the
and
day
would
they'll
you?
Be working out.
Would I what?
Work them out.
I'd have a kicker.
Not
in
yet.
Here.
I would not. No.
I would have a
and
kicker.
And I said,
in
I told this to
well,
Paul.
If
I think
I did,
it's,
I'd make it very secret because
it's Matt Castle's situation. Right. I don't want him looking over his shoulder because I don't think it's good for Stephen Gostkowski.
If that's really a big part of this, I think they need a new kicker then. Because I don't. I mean, if he succumbs to that pressure, I can rely on this guy to go on the field and kick.
That's a good point. Maybe you want
the
it
pressure
to
of someone
reason,
coming in to see if he can
put
kick
the pressure on him.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Listen, I'm not ready to pull the plug on Gostkowski. Andy and I sort of have some fun. He's a great guy, and we have a good relationship with him, and we joke around with him all the time. And quite frankly, we joke around him about this stuff, about missed kicks. And he kind of jokes with us about, you know, he missed one at the end of a half, one game, I don't know, it was last year.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to throw his cleats away because he didn't want to kick with those cleats. And then he realized he didn't have another kicking cleat. He had to go in the barrel and get it and stuff like that. He's a pretty good kicker. He's got a pretty strong leg. He's been very, very accurate. He missed a couple. He's missed three so far. It's not ideal, but I still think he's an above-average kicker. Is he the best? No. But
he's been the best at times.
I wouldn't want to pull the plug on him.
Okay. Travis is in Tennessee. When McCourty got his first interception, I was waiting for the refs to review it and say it was simultaneous catch and give it back to Buffalo. Then I remembered the new refs were back. And speaking of the new refs being back, it's nice to see the pace of all the games back to normal. And will they be moving all the games back to 4:15 at some point? And where are the Wilson Hart power rankings?
On the PFW blog on Patriots.com.
Oh, they're up?
Yeah.
Oh, so who are you going to talk about it?
I don't know. Do you want me to?
Well, I just thought you might mention.
If I kept my mouth shut more and my eyes open and use my ears, so that's what I'm doing.
Just for some clarification, I won't engage in the referee thing, but the 4:25 was not because of replacement refs.
No.
That was an NFL thing because they wanted to get the 1 o'clock games in that window, and I will just say that the game took 3 hours and 17 minutes, which is about average for a 2012 NFL game.
Isn't the 4:25
just... It was 3:16.
Yeah,
the
I don't
first
know
three
if
weeks.
It's about average for a game with all those turnovers.
I said in 2012.
Aren't the 425?
It's an average time for a game this year.
I know, but in average games this year, are there eight turnovers? I mean,
no, I don't know.
That
I'm
many
just saying
like that. I mean, that takes time.
But if we're going to credit the game for moving along, it didn't.
Paul will not give the new refs any.
That's why I don't bother arguing it anymore, because it's
because
you know
no
Bill
one,
says you don't run yourself into a brick wall. That's all that
but
is.
But no one can see the hypocrisy of the way we're talking about these refs. Every game that ends, we're complaining about five calls, but we're laughing and complaining instead of like it being the be all end all of the world.
I see a difference.
I do too.
What? What is it? Tell me.
I just think game management, administration. I think okay. The number of missed non-calls that don't get called that are now because they see them. I just think there's just more consistency. I think it's better for the game overall.
But no one would argue with that. I wouldn't argue that.
Well, that's all part of what the
But I'm talking about all the missed calls that we used to spend hours dissecting and analyzing on the first 3 weeks. We're laughing about them now. We're showing the replays and so on. Oh, look at that face mask. No, the new guys are back. And it's okay that they took their bows and tipped their hats and everything, but we're not holding them to the same standard we held the other guys to. They are better, but they don't have to live up to the standards the other guys did. I don't really see that as being all that controversial of a stance. And then when we say the game moves along faster and it was the same, what are we saying?
Well, I do think that the game seems to run a lot smoother with these guys.
Seems. That's my point.
Okay. And again, you think the other
guys
are as good.
If the replacement... I don't. I don't think the other guys is good. But if the replacement ref this game, we would say another 3 hour and 17 mess.
This game...
That's what we would say.
No, this game in particular probably had been 3.5 hours. They probably would have tacked on 15 to this particular game.
Okay. That's an argument I can't argue with. Something that didn't happen. I can't argue with that.
Dan is in London. How do we evaluate the rushing game? They look good against the Titans, superb against the woeful Bills, but average if not poor in the Cardinals and Ravens game. Does that mean that they can only run on poor to average teams and that when they come up against the Texans or 49ers, they won't be able to move the ball?
Yes.
Or do you think the running game is a work in progress and will become a force as the season progresses?
It doesn't have to become a force.
No, you don't have to run for 240 yards like you did Sunday.
Just having a complement. That's what they've said all along.
Do you think it will be?
I think it will be less than 240, but better than what you saw against Baltimore. I think they're going to be a complementary rushing offense. I said that all along just because I think Ridley is better than Jarvis Green-Ellis. That he can maximize runs, he can give you a little burst. The one thing I didn't like, and I don't know that anyone noticed this, but when he had that hit on the sideline and the ball fumbled out of bounds.
No, nothing to worry about.
That I don't care if it was in a 240-yard game in which you won 50. I don't want to see the ball leaving his hands ever, ever.
Even when he gets hurt like Santonio Holmes, he can't just drop the
ball
and fall to the ground?
Drop the ball. He threw it.
Unbelievable.
That was worse than Patrick Pass.
Light years worse than Patrick Pass.
He's nuts.
He is.
Yeah.
And he is just not a winner.
And then to find
out. For a Super Bowl MVP,
and
he's not a winner.
I'm not diminishing the amount of pain he was in, but to find out it was a foot injury and not a torn ACL. Like, I thought he blew his knee up. The way he went down.
I don't care what the injury is.
No, I that's what I'm saying. I thought he blew his knee up. He has a foot injury.
Yeah, but I don't even care.
And he threw the ball to the other team.
If it was a torn ACL, if he blew every leg, I just don't see the mentality that involves you throwing the ball up in the air.
Dan also says, any update on Mankin's injury? I was actually worried for the game outcome when I saw he was out.
You should have been if the Bills' defensive front had showed up, but they didn't. I'm going to take it as a good sign that they said, you know what? We just got to rest you. We got to give you a little time off here. I know you could play through it, and you're the toughest SOB on the planet, but that's only going to make it worse down the road. And I'm going to take this as we're giving him a week off, maybe 2 weeks, whatever it is here, and then he'll be at full health. I'm taking the positive side of that.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Jess writes
Or we're effed, and it's pain so bad he couldn't play through it.
do you guys follow Brandon Spikes on Twitter?
Yes.
On Saturday night, he instigated a massive Twitter war with Bills fans and then came out and had a huge game in Buffalo. Subsequently, I've heard interviews with both Ninkovich and Brady saying that they love playing with Spikes, given the plays he makes and how his passion energizes his teammates. Is it fair to dub him the heart and soul of the 2012 defense? The heart and soul.
I think that is unfair. I would dub him the energy or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, heart and soul has a grander meaning.
Yeah, Wilfork and Mayo are the heart and soul. He's like the fist.
That was good. You know? That was very good right there.
I kind of, yeah, that's interesting.
The fist.
How do you look at it? You know, it's one of those cliches. How do you identify it? But I like you were, I mean, I like the fist and the energy. I mean, he's more of an energy guy than a...
Heart and soul to me does everything. Yeah. Like Teddy Bruschi and Troy Brown.
To me, that's Vince.
Those are heart and souls. Yeah, Vince.
Vince to me is the heart
Mayo's
and soul.
Mayo's the brains.
Vince.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's the fist. I like the fist. He should get a logo.
Or according to the video. David.
I don't know. We haven't seen it. Only you can speak passionately on that.
I'll trust you on that one too, Fred.
David in Denver here. You remember me, right? The guy who emailed you a few weeks ago about how bad Danny Woodhead is. Glad to hear that you guys agree that Woodhead needs to get his snap count down. Let this guy line up as a receiver in five wide and let him be Brady's 73rd option when he's under pressure. Give him the same number of carries as he got this week, zero. Give Ridley the ball on every carry that Woodhead was supposed to get. Also, let's all hope that Julian Edelman continues to be hurt so our former defensive back is no longer the centerpiece of our offense. On a side note, here's a shout-out from the
Pikes. I love this guy. What's his name?
Remember the Pikes Peak Pats party last year in Denver? F. Manning and F. the Broncos. Wow.
It's passion.
I love Danny Woodhead.
I made that comment about Edelman, by the way, during the pregame social. Fred.
Oh, really?
I go, good news is that Edelman's out, so Welker will have to play.
Brandon Lloyd, earlier, I don't know if it's an email or a caller, said that it looked like they might have been forcing it into him.
They've been forcing it into him for 3.5
those
weeks.
Those back shoulder fades. I blogged. I said, man, those something about those just don't look right every time they throw it.
Well, you're also not really supposed to do it like 600 times in four games.
Yeah, I thought they looked right against Baltimore.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I think they do it too much. That's all.
I wrote this in this week's paper. I think it's an intentional thing to make sure he's a part of this offense. I think they learned from the Chad Ochocinco experiment, and this is to make sure he and Brady have a rapport and have. But to me, it's weird that the guy you brought in to kind of be your outside deep threat, you're throwing all these screens
right.
to. You know, I'd like what he was on Sunday, a nice deep ball down the field where he makes a great catch because we know he can make great catches, and. Be that at, and then get back to my guys, Gronk and West. Them's my guys.
Don't you think that Brady's reaction after that touchdown was telling?
I was just going to say to lend credence to Andy's theory that it looks like they're trying to do it.
Sort of.
I mean, he basically French kissed him.
He had that reaction a few times with Chad Ochocinco too.
Well, exactly. You know, he wants these guys to get involved.
I think it's backing up your
and
point.
He wants to encourage them when they succeed.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's going to work.
No.
The reaction would I think is. Supportive of you, what you're saying.
Right.
It looks like that
backs up what you're saying.
They want to get him involved.
Then yeah, whatever we're talking about.
And I think Fred's right. I think Brady's reaction was not just the typical post, especially the touchdown. It was a meaningless touchdown. Made it 49, right?
Yeah.
It was the last touchdown they scored. The game was long since over. The reaction to me was over the top, and that was because, I think, of what Andy's saying. Like,
see,
this
is
a concerted effort.
For us. You know,
this
that,
is a concerted effort to me. Even
because his numbers were terrible the first 3 weeks. I mean, even though he led the team in catches, his yards per catch for a guy like him was down right around 10. I mean, he was in like Welker, Danny Amendola, slot receiver land. And that's not what I don't think he wants to be that. I think Brandon Lloyd likes the idea that he's the guy that makes great catches down the field, big plays, sort of what he was in Denver when he was a 14, 1500 yard receiver. So I could see why, even though we're throwing him a lot, Brady feels the need. It's going where you want it to go. It's going to end with you in the end zone,
right.
Making plays for us that are big plays. But in addition to that, I want to urge everyone, if you get Patriots Football Weekly, or if you don't, sign up for it because you will see some of the best photography in the world. And this is a prime example. The touchdown to Brandon Lloyd is the greatest photo I've ever seen taken.
Wow.
Of a football game. I'm being serious. It looks fake. You're going to read it. You're going to say, that's fake.
Right.
But it isn't.
Right.
He's diving midair, holding the ball flat, parallel to the ground, looking right into the camera and smiling.
Right. Freddie, as a matter of fact, it looks so fake that I think we need to use that, and I'm being serious as well, for one of our ad campaigns. I think we need to use that in like, you know, where's my PFW or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, because he's flying through the air with his head cocked to the side, looking directly at the camera
and
smiling.
If he doesn't, who took it?
Keith Nordstrom.
If he does not win an award for that, you know how they do those Canon awards or something?
Yes, the AP.
If he does not win an award for that, then I don't know what's going on.
We should try to utilize that photo.
And it was
in
on
one
a touchdown.
Ads.
It wasn't just
a
catch.
Like the one with David Givens was a good one, but remember it wasn't a touchdown? when he's diving out of the end zone toward the pylon and he didn't get in, I believe, and he's like parallel to the ground. Yeah. And he's not even looking at the camera, but the fact that this is also a touchdown and the eye, you're making eye contact with the guy who's catching a diving touchdown.
Right.
It's almost like a TV commercial where they pause the action and he's like going to talk to the
right,
camera.
Right, well, that's right, why I'm saying we need to use this as an ad. That's exactly what it looks like to me.
I've never seen anything like it. And then we actually had a couple others. There was one of the Vince Wilfork hit that was a great picture of him just laying out Donald Jones, basically saying, you want a form tackle? This is a form tackle right here.
Yeah.
Best game they've ever had.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, the photographers will pick out, like, 50, 60 of what they think their best photos were, and they'll put them on a thumb drive, and on the plane, I'll go through all those, and I'll whittle it down to, like, 15. And usually, if a photographer likes what he did, he'll put it to the front for me. I can tell. He didn't. I just, you know, came through that. It was like midway through, and I'm like, wow, that was stunning.
I would have said, I want to raise. See this photo? I want to raise. I'm Walter Ayoce Jr.
Is that how you pronounce that guy's name?
Who?
The famous Sports Illustrated guy. It's I-O-O-S-S, I think.
I have no idea.
You never heard of him?
Probably Oos.
I don't know. But we have better photos than he's ever taken in this week's PFW. Go get the app. Is it available on the app?
Probably. David Silverman and Keith Nordstrom both had really some real strong photos.
Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous week. Go look them up.
Jerry is in California, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. I actually had several little questions here. First off, I was going to start off by asking about our secondary. Are they really very good or very bad? However,
very bad.
Nobody knows the answer to that question. I'm going to go to something else. And something else is actually a really dumb question, but I figured you guys are good at answering questions like this. So,
especially me and Andy.
Here's the question. The offense is obviously on the field. They break the huddle. The quarterback goes to the line. They're getting ready to snap the ball. He's calling out the counts or whatever. And somebody twitches a muscle, and it's a false start. It's a 5-yard penalty. Okay, I understand that, but sometime later in the game, almost the exact thing happens. They break the huddle, they go to the line, the quarterback is calling out the signals, the ball is almost ready to be snapped. But the quarterback looks up, he sees something in the defense he doesn't like, so he changes the play. He turns around, he talks to his running back. The running back comes up, makes sure he's got the play. Everybody on the offensive line stands up, looks around, and makes sure they got the right play. They get set, and they do the play again. And I'm wondering, what happened to that muscle twitch? It seemed like to me there was a lot of action there that would have caused a false start, but for some reason it doesn't. So what's the rule here that I'm missing?
I think the rule is once everyone's set as a whole, that's when you can't move. If guys are moving around up to that point and they keep moving, then they're not set yet. But once the whole line is set, then you can't move again.
Well,
it's like a balk.
To some degree, that's right, but that's not always right because there are times when the quarterback gets everybody set and then somebody moves and then he resets the whole play and they all look around. It can't be simulating
the
play.
I think that's the key
word. The biggest issue because you'll see it. A guy can come out of the backfield and run out, and that's not a false start.
Right.
But he can do almost the exact same thing because they teach you if you're the running back and you go, you can just keep going. And
usually you get caught.
Usually get caught because it looks different. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a look to it. And it happened 2 weeks ago in one of the games I was watching where the running back fought and he tried to just go in motion, but it was clear that it wasn't a smooth go in motion. He kind of tried to keep going after he had hesitated. So it's more of a simulation of the start of the play.
Okay.
And by the way, this is not a PFW question, but just a comment. Obviously, the Patriots.com All Access is part of that. Scott Zolak, I think if he was a backup, matter of fact, I'm sure he was a backup quarterback many, many years ago.
Yep, career.
He seems to have a relationship with Belichick that's a little bit unusual. Not too many reporters would be able to sit down and talk with Bill one-on-one and be as comfortable as Scott appears to be. So just a comment. He seems to have a very good relationship with Belichick.
It's a good observation, Jerry, and thanks for the call. Here's the thing about Scott Zolak.
Well, he played for.
I don't care who the subject was. He would be comfortable with anyone.
Right.
The guy has no, you know, inhibitions. I don't know what you would call it, but he
inhibitions
feels,
is probably good.
Yeah, he feels comfortable with himself that Bill Belichick doesn't bother him.
But let's not.
So he feels comfortable with him.
But let's not discount the fact that he played for him too.
Well, sure. Yeah,
so I mean,
helps.
He's a player. Yeah. Not just a player, he played for Belichick. So there's a comfort level there that, I'm sorry, you know, a regular media guy, he's not really a media guy sitting down.
I know,
with him.
Even on the big show when DiAssi was with Bell, you know, DiAssi's still, you know, I don't know, want to call it completely formal, but, you know, he's not completely relaxed.
But either. I can tell you that they are very much relaxed because I've been in those. You know, at times, and Fred and Steve are very much relaxed with Bill Belichick in a way that I never would
be. Well, Fred is, because Fred is like Scott Zolak.
No, I'm okay.
You know, he's loose. He's a.
I just think it's the difference between one
cuckoo.
Being a little bit more professional.
A little bit, yeah.
One's a little more professional than the other. That's, to me, the only difference.
Well, yeah. Let's see. Jorgen in Denmark says two lighthearted questions. One, is Steve Gregory James Sanders without the PFW man crush?
No.
Okay. And two, is Vince Wilfork a Hall of Fame linebacker? Every time he drops into coverage, he makes plays. On a serious note, what is it going to take for the big man to get in?
To get in
Vince,
what?
The Hall of Fame?
Oh, to the Hall of Fame. He would have a shot if he continues his career on the path it is.
Yeah, I don't think he really does.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Perennial Pro Bowler means nothing? All pro?
I don't feel like the vibe around him is that he's a game changer. To me, it's part of it is publicity. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, part of it is a reputation.
Is Ted Washington in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Oh, he isn't?
No.
God, no.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't have a shot in Hades.
He's the prototypical nose
tackle.
Vince
is way better than Ted Washington. Ted Washington was like an old school nose tackle who just ate up blockers and kind of was a tree stump. Vince can make plays. Vince can make tackles. I mean, I feel like Vince, the last couple of years, has been like a top four guy in tackles on this team. Ted Washington was not a guy that was going to be top four for a season on your tackle chart. Sort of a different era, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert on the interior line play. I don't know the guys that are in the Hall of Fame. You know, Warren Sapp types, to me, would stand out as being, you know,
but like the guy who just went in.
Randy White.
Cortez Kennedy. Talking about a defensive player of the year.
Yeah,
I've never heard Vince said as a defensive player of the year.
I look at the guys that are in.
Haloti Ngata, I've even heard before say, this guy's a defensive player of the year type player. I've never heard that for Vince. As good as we've seen him be here, for whatever reason.
Because of his position, it's very difficult to get in.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
But I think those guys, they're freaks in that they find a way to rush the passer even from the inside.
Warren Sapp?
One of the guys I mentioned.
To me, he's in a totally different player. To me, it's Ngata, Cortez Kennedy, guys that are 350 pounds.
Richard Seymour?
But also closer. I think Sapp was a guy in and of himself, a pass-rushing, different hybrid-type player than what Wilfork is.
Okay. Scott wants to know, does Pinocchio have a Woody Johnson? It's a good question.
Yes. Does he wear a hat on top of it? No one's ever answered me because I just think it's weird why he always has a baseball hat on. He does.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Pinocchio.
No, I don't. I mean, why would you know why he'd wear a hat? So his girlfriend wouldn't get splinters.
Oh.
No, but not Jimmy Johnson, Woody Johnson. No one has ever given me a good reason why the man always has a baseball cap on. A suit? He's on like the types of things Robert does, like Squawk Box or these like Business Channel interviews. With a baseball cap, it just
I didn't know that.
Looks ridiculous.
I was kind of wondering what your fixation was.
I've never
was
seen him without
that.
A hat on.
Well, but I've never seen him outside of this stadium or MetLife Stadium.
If he's on
Squawk Box, that's odd.
He always wears a hat.
That's odd.
I think he has like a phobia or a doesn't. You know,
is he like me? He a little
cares?
Is he follically challenged?
Doesn't appear to be around. It would be like the what do they call them? The Friar Tuck or whatever. Like he has hair down here. I mean, he looks like he's got a good growth
of hair.
Yeah,
I mean, if I wore a hat all the time, I don't think that people would know that I was bald. Maybe he's just covering that up.
But I'd still make fun of you if you wore a hat with a suit. I think it looks ridiculous.
Of course. And to me, I don't mind it so much. Like, I don't think it's all that odd that he would wear a Jets hat on Sunday with a suit on.
Yeah,
up
I don't
in his
like
box.
That either.
No, but whatever. I don't think it's all that odd.
I'm trying to be the cool guy, one of the men today. Like,
but I think it's ridiculous.
He does it all the time.
I think it's ridiculously odd to appear on a national television show with a baseball hat on. That to me is just unprofessional.
About maybe 15 years ago in Manhattan, a lot that started to become the fashion. A lot of guys in suits wearing ball caps.
And that's what he is?
Yeah, like Larry Lucchino.
Yeah. Is that where he comes
Larry
from?
Lucchino does it all the time.
It looks stupid.
He's a tool, too.
Yeah. It looks stupid.
Yep.
Either I'm okay if you want to say I'm Joe Fan, so put on a sweatshirt or something and go to the game as Joe Fan.
Right.
That would be an interesting look for an owner. Like, if you just decide, you know, why do we have to be all
Mark Cuban.
Stuffy?
And Mark right. Cuban just shows up and wears what he's right. wearing. He's
why
a fan.
Would I have
and,
to
and you don't have to be a slob
to
like
go
Cuban
to a football
either.
Game.
Right.
Now, you know, I know that a lot of times they're meeting clients. And
but I mean,
why does anyone have to wear
right. But that's what I'm saying. Right. So you're meeting clients.
Right.
You can't show the client that you're a human being and you don't always have a three-piece suit on?
Right.
You know, I'll tell you, this show can go anywhere. we can take you anywhere.
Sunday fashion.
I would definitely not wear a suit to a game if I were the rich owner of a team. No doubt in my mind. I'd have jeans and a T-shirt or jeans and a sweatshirt. I'd be supporting
my team. I certainly
agree
with Andy. There's nothing more uncomfortable to me than being in a suit all the time.
Yeah.
If I was a rich owner of a team, I would be in a suit as little as possible.
And why do those baseball managers have to put the uniform on?
That's a little silly, too. But what are you going to wear? You're in the dugout on the field. What are you going to wear?
You know? You know, the guys on the sideline in the NFL don't have, you know, pads on.
Well, I mean, that's a little
that might be part tradition, too.
That's a little silly, don't you think?
Yeah, managers. But
I
think it's stupid.
No, I'm saying, do you think
there were player coaches in basketball, too, so Doc Rivers should have a jersey and shorts on.
Right.
No, I get it.
They're not going to go play.
A lot of people say, well, in the old days, it was the player manager, so that's why he had a jersey
Oh, I don't
on.
Think that's why.
And that's happened in the NBA with player
tradition.
Coaches. So,
but when they had player coaches, they had uniforms on.
No,
like
I
Bill
know.
Bill Russell was a player.
My
coach.
Point is, if you're going to keep the tradition, like, well, Bill Russell used to wear a uniform on game day. Doc Rivers should wear a uniform.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference.
No coach should wear a uniform.
I agree. There's no reason for it. But I don't think the football and baseball analogy works because, why? I mean, I don't think there's any reason to put on pads.
Well, that's just
you know
stupid.
What I mean.
Yeah, but
no, that's just stupid.
I mean,
that
would be
joke.
Over the top.
That
was a joke.
No, but I'm saying.
But even a jersey, even wearing a jersey it would
stupid.
Be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
no,
sometimes
I think
in the
it's
preseason,
silly.
The injured players have a jersey on.
Right.
The coach should not be wearing the uniform.
Yeah, and I agree with Fred. I think it's silly that baseball managers wear uniforms. That's
not only
silly.
That they wear them, they have to wear them. Tito got in trouble. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I
have to.
Right.
He covered it up and he got in trouble.
Even in high school, when I coached high school baseball, a lot of the guys wore uniforms.
Glory days.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't wear the uniform.
It didn't fit, but that was a totally different topic.
I wasn't always fat, Andy. I've told you that a million times. Only since I met you.
Ben writes in, first off, wanted to say I love the show. No other team has anything even half as good. Next, I wanted to say right now, the safety who's playing the best seems to be Tavon Wilson.
I agree.
He seems always...
Maybe because we haven't seen enough of
right.
him yet.
Right. He seems always to be around the ball. He gets in on team tackles, and he won't stop being part of turnovers when he's on the field. Chung and Gregory are on the field more than Wilson, but combined they have, what, a third of a turnover? The third of the turnovers that Wilson has? Also, I really love Nate Ebner in the preseason. Is there any chance that by the end of the season we see Wilson and Ebner starting at safety and benching the two geometry flunks who don't know how to take a good angle to save their lives?
Wasn't Ebner on the field for one of the plays?
Yeah, he
yes.
got burned at the end.
Brad Smith's touchdown.
That's continued to be an issue for him. It was an issue in the preseason.
Right,
he's not ready for full-time defensive play.
And don't get lost in the turnovers yet. Let's, you know, kind of pump the brakes on the turnover thing.
Also, I wanted to ask about Deion Branch. Paper. Did he play? Yes, he did. Or was he just irrelevant as he sometimes is? I think he is vastly underrated. But at the same time, I think if the Patriots don't play specifically to his skills, he just flat can't compete. That's why he was a scrub in Seattle. Really? And why he is obviously not a top five option on this offense now.
He wasn't a scrub in Seattle.
He had about the same amount of catches in Seattle that he had here.
And
exactly. On a worse team.
Everything.
Exactly.
Right.
He was not a scrub. He was not worth whatever the contract was that he signed. Way too much money, but he wasn't a scrub.
Let's see.
I didn't know he had played on Sunday, by the way. I didn't notice him. Andy said that he did notice
him. Oh, yeah, he definitely played.
Times.
He just...
It was one of those old school games, by
yeah.
the way. They didn't really target anybody but Gronk and Welker.
Right. And you know what I like? Those old school games.
I told you, one of the things that annoys me, like I don't the whole spreading it around thing, that works for some teams and it works for some game plans. I don't necessarily get enamored with that. If you are productive, I don't care how.
So you're not on board with Fred saying, other than Hernandez, Gronkowski, and Welker, what do I have?
No, I'm not on board with that. For the record, Andy, I'm not on board with that. That was another one of those examples where he puts words
this
in your mouth.
This is where Fred chews his cheek for a minute to decide whether he's going to respond or read an email.
Just, yeah. Again, yeah. I'll go back to the...
If only his ears
and eyes were as big as his mouth.
Did you want to delve into this? Or you?
Oh, the heart index?
Wilson heart power
sure.
index. Because it is the inaugural one for this year. We put it on the blog,
head over to PFW blog if you want to read it.
You know, I think you need to point out that this is really the only, you know, of that ilk rankings. And
yeah, this is not some
this
cheap
This is the only
poll.
One that makes no sense. He was buying right into it.
Now, wouldn't you think
what?
A boss
I just thought it was funny.
Would
what?
Like his employees to do things
he doesn't
that
like
create
us to do
product?
I like you to do
sticky
things.
Content,
be productive,
building,
yes.
Building
sticky.
Credibility,
yep. Build credibility. Yep.
And he just cuts you off at the knees.
What do you got?
Number one ranking. This is going to sound a lot like last year. The Houston Texans at 4-0.
I think it makes sense.
Our number one, followed by. The Atlanta Falcons,
again,
at 4-0.
Yeah.
Then we have a tie for the number three spot between the Baltimore Ravens and San Francisco 49ers.
Both 3-1.
Both 3-1. Then fifth spot falls to the Arizona Cardinals, 4-0.
So this year we're going to strictly go by, your one loss record.
It's the same numbers.
He's a bleeping moron. The sixth spot is the one that's already drawing some criticism from people like Paul Perillo and others. The 3-1 Chicago Bears.
Okay.
And then the seventh spot, the first team with two losses, your New England Patriots come in at seventh. Right. And I also, down the other end, if you're interested, win-loss doesn't equate to specifically. There are two teams that are 0-4. They are ranked 25th, the Saints, and 28th, the Browns. 32 is the Kansas City Chiefs at 1-3. 31 is Tennessee at 1-3.
You're taking into consideration front office management.
Yes.
Who's 32?
The Chiefs.
Chiefs at 1-3. Scott Pioli's...
holding his chest up high?
In the basement.
Yeah.
And soon to be holding his chest high in the unemployment line.
With Matt Castle.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. Every week,
every
Andy
Tuesday.
Will have the Hart Wilson Power Index.
Could you give it a little bit of respect? Just a little. Just a sliver of respect.
What did I say that was wrong?
If you want other people to take it seriously, maybe you should take it seriously.
That's not what it's called, Hart Wilson?
Wilson Hart Power Index.
Okay.
And was consulted upon by some of the greatest minds in football, including within this organization.
Minds.
Very important people helped develop the proprietary Wilson Hart Power Index.
All right.
So go F yourselves, fat boys. I was buying into it when you. I hate you.
Oh, that's why I almost spit out my Coke. Because I knew you were buying
an a-hole.
I was really. I was like, I got him. G-Man writes in. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Great win Sunday. I believe Dan Dierdorf was on the call Sunday, and apparently Brady is the best deep ball thrower in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, and Bodden is the best power back, and Wes is the greatest deep threat in NFL history. I don't know what's worse, having Dan Dierdorf commentating or Gruden, who loves everything and can't put his hands down when he talks. Bodden runs at the end was pretty impressive.
Bolden.
He wrote Bodden.
Well, it's wrong.
But you know
Fix
who he
it.
Is.
I thought Lee Bodden was in the game. his runs at the end were pretty impressive. Most backs would just run for the corner, but he just ran right at Gilmore and overpowered him. Ed Hockley would have loved it.
Oh, Jackson would have loved it.
Anyway, Gronk looked injured Sunday, seemed sluggish and slower than usual. Any news on that? And finally, what are the chances of Hernandez
coming back? A lot of people are saying that. Am I missing it?
A lot of people are saying that. That's been a common thing, that he doesn't look good running.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something to be concerned about?
There was one where he got hit hard in the end zone, and he kind of made his way to the sideline. It was during a drive.
But it was also a deep ball, wasn't it? Wasn't he like 30 yards downfield? I said to Paul, when did he become our deep threat, by the way? Because it seems like every game he's down there. But I took that just as I'm a 270-pound tight end who just ran 35 yards downfield. I'm going to take a break now. Call me in two plays. He's
a
big
–
I mean, you have to remember, and I gave him – what was the incompletion? Was that Arizona in the diving one?
Yeah, 55, whatever.
That is not normal to have a 6'6", 270-pound guy running 40 yards downfield for I mean, that's Brandon Lloyd, the twiggy, athletic, spandex-wearing type, dives for those catches. Not the big tight end. That's not easy. I think we now, because he's such a freak, we now want more of a freak. Keep
right.
going.
Yeah.
You may have seen the best season you're ever going to see from Rob Gronkowski. I don't mean to be like the wet blanket on this show, but you may have seen the best.
He had a big game, however, on Sunday
in
the blocking department.
Oh, yeah.
As well. I mean, I know he had big numbers.
He also had a big game in the
receiving
department.
No, I know he had big numbers, but
that's, I mean, everybody, that's on the stat sheet.
Everybody
could see
that. He was this close to a second touchdown when the guy made a nice hit right across the ball.
Yeah.
Like, so he was going to keep up his trend of two touchdowns when he plays in Buffalo. I think people are holding him to an unfair standard now. You know, if you have to remember, Brady is the greatest player here, right? He wasn't great in 2001. He wasn't great. He got great physically,
gradually,
visually.
Over time.
Over a decade.
Yeah.
Gronk just happened to get great in year two. I don't think you can you know, extrapolate on that and say, okay, well, this year I want 1,700 right, yards right. and 22 touchdowns.
Well, we've been saying that.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah, he probably
great.
Won't have what he had.
No one else year. Ever has, yeah, ever. Right. But he had the greatest season ever for a tight end.
But right. the thing is, he's off to a pretty solid start. And I think
and people aren't happy.
You're getting
right.
a lot of people.
And he's been taken out of the offense.
You know, you're getting a lot of people, you know, that are like, sort of wondering if he's running. And I think he is banged up a little bit. I think.
Well, he had the hip injury.
But I also think the ankle was not 100% in training camp and throughout the summer. I think there were signs that he wasn't running quite as well. And clearly, and there was some differing opinions on this before the game. Me and Andy, all right, I won't throw you under the bus.
Don't.
I was sort of wondering. A lot of people were tweeting pregame that it looked like Gronk was laboring a little bit in the pregame. Eric came on with us in the pregame social and said he looked like he was fine. Based on your observations, Freddie, I would agree with you and some of the tweets that saw that didn't seem like he was running quite as well as he normally does.
When
but
did he run
he's
pretty?
I
tell people, go back and watch last year. And even when he's running through people.
He's not a smooth runner.
He's a big, right. laboring, 270-pound
right.
guy.
Right.
He's
fast.
Got a long stride.
He's fast,
he
but he lumbers.
Ground.
Big flipping
right.
flippers.
But he's not a speed demon.
No.
He just makes up a lot of ground because of his huge strides.
I think he is now at the mercy of his reputation. Like, that people think he's more than he is. He's great, and people want to be greater. They want to be Superman.
Right. Right. Let's go to the phones. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
How are you?
Good.
I'm working on my Boston accent.
Oh, we can work on that then.
I'm going to go park the car.
That's terrible.
Is it good?
No.
Sorry.
Park. Park the car.
So, yeah, I'm terrible.
Just park the
I
car.
Apologize. So I'm happy about the win. I'm happy about the second half. I'm wondering how we got to where we were in the first half. But my question was, on the O-line, since Mankins was hurt and he was replaced, and since the replacement did kind of a good job, I think, on Sunday, does it mean that when Mankins come back, we keep that replacement? I can't remember his name. I think it's Wendell or
Donald
Thomas. Yeah, Thomas. Does it mean that we add Thomas next to Logan, and then we even have a stronger O-line?
Pump the brakes, because I would say after his Week 2 performance, people never wanted to see Donald Thomas step on the field ever again.
But left guard was his more natural spot.
Well, he's never going to get to play left guard because we have a $55 million left guard.
That was sarcasm. Right.
Now, what I would say is, if Wendell struggles, it gives you some confidence in the option of saying, well, I'm going to put Conley back at center and put Donald Thomas at right guard if that became an issue down the road.
It was a good performance by a guy who was sort of on his heels after his first start against Arizona. Give him
Gary
some credit.
Gary Tangway wanted him to like be ripped out of the Patriots uniform and sent packing.
It was a good performance because that I do think that those inside guys.
They're going to have to treat him. You know,
Tangway.
Tangway.
Oh, yeah. He's lost it.
I think he's gone insane.
A little bit. I think it's the hair. The long
hair. He's got
like
such a short fuse these days.
Yeah, he's weird.
Yeah.
Well, if you worked with Felger a lot, you'd probably go nuts.
Yeah, that's true.
You
but
used
I
to
thought
go
they
nuts.
Played well,
in
Olivier.
The short time you worked with Felger, you used to scream at
him. We had some epic
battles. Awesome. That was awesome.
Screaming at each
greatest
other.
Greatest moments in PFW in progress history.
Calling
were Fridays.
Each other liars.
Yes.
Fridays with Fred and Mike. No question.
You're a liar.
That was great.
Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly.
All right. Thanks for the call, Olivier. I don't even know if he was done.
Well, we'll never know now.
He had the chance to chime in, and he didn't take it. So,
well,
Pooper, get off the pot.
Fred was just...
Brandon writes in, hey, I was watching NFL Primetime on ESPN, and they were showing the highlights of the game, and they showed a clip of Brady yelling. And they were like, look at Brady and the Patriots getting pumped up. But actually, he was yelling, where's my helmet?
Yeah.
I guess he misplaced.
He lost his helmet before the start of the second half.
I guess he said that they always check the helmets for the sound at the half, make sure that the mic's still working, and somebody had put it in a different place. And
I didn't realize that. Never mind.
What's that?
I didn't realize that needed to be done on the road.
And also, did you catch Brady saying "F you bitches" after scoring his rushing TD?
Yes, that was the time when he had a little fire to him.
All right.
I didn't really understand the fire either.
Why?
Yeah.
Was it just because that tied the game and they
well,
were
you don't
like,
know what's going
now
on
we're coming
there.
Back, bitches.
You don't know what like linemen and linebackers are saying to him on the field, so that might have been part of it.
Well, I didn't know who it was to either. Was it to the fans? Was it to the officials of having the audacity to challenge his play?
Because it was definitely a play that should have been challenged.
Yeah. I didn't really know the target of the animosity, or if it was none and it was just like him getting, you know, it, that tied it, right? That made it 21.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like that. We're back in this, bitches. Let's go.
I don't know.
Because he
exactly
does that a lot. He walks around the sideline just yelling.
He's one of those guys, and it works for him. He's one of those guys that still, he's like Pedro. When Pedro was at his peak with the Red Sox, he hears the one guy saying he can't do something.
Right.
Despite the overwhelming percentage of adulation that he receives, he hears the doubters and he thrives on it. And I think that's what it is. I think he's, you know, oh, I won't run, you know, like someone saying that he can't
Maybe
do
it's
it
us.
Anymore.
Maybe he was yelling at us. Maybe.
No, but you know what my point is? Yeah. I think he hears the guys that are saying that no one thinks that Brady's not great. No one thinks that Brady's not one of the best three at worst in the league. But he hears differently.
I think it's us. We know he reads the paper.
He hears
so
differently.
It's us.
I think we're the bitches.
I'm okay being Brady's bitch.
I can live.
Does that pay?
Patriots football bitches.
Never mind.
Let's see. My name is Marco, and I'm from Juarez, Mexico, just across the border of El Paso, Texas. I really love the show. I've been listening to you guys since last year. I'm a Redbone Patriots fan. I'm not sure what that means. Actually, I believe I'm the greatest and more faithful Patriot fan from Mexico since 1987. I really love when the Patriots blast other teams, especially those that believe they are in the same level.
Yeah, I liked that. That part I liked.
Love to see our team running a more versatile offense. I was watching the Packers-Saints game and seeing them bombing themselves, making me feel very happy with our offense that seems to be unpredictable and unstoppable. Thank you for reading my email. I apologize for my English.
Your English was better than Fritz.
Yeah, I was going to say, Marco, you're better than a lot of
the only thing we didn't get was the Redbone Patriot fan. I don't
Redbone.
Really.
Maybe he means diehard, perhaps, and that's the translation. I don't know.
The direct translation is
Redbone? I don't know.
Like that one.
Paul's gone.
I remember the one from high school was I gato encerrado means literally like the cat is on fire, but it really means you're pulling my leg.
Oh, really?
That's like kind of the phrasing or whatever. And I was like, why would the cat be on fire have anything to do with
Alan in Scotland, just wanted to chime in on Guskowski. I think people have been way too quick to throw him under the bus. He's in a slump right now, and his misses in the Bills game were poor, especially the second one. But he has had a slump before, about two seasons ago, and he got over it quite quickly and gave us a good year and a half of solid error-free kicking. I think he's a good player who has made some solid kicks for us over the years. He was kicking 53-yarders against the Cards less than a month ago. He didn't turn into a bad kicker overnight.
Do we really want to present the Cards game as right. a game in his defense?
He just seems to be
Since that 53-yarder, he's missed three times.
He just seems to be
And lost the game!
He just seems to be in his own head right now, but I know he'll get over the slump, and he'll get it done. Keep in mind, Adam Vinatieri missed a few kicks in his time, too.
Everybody does.
Anyway, keep up the good work. See you guys in London. And P.S., will Paul and Andy be making the trip across the pond this year? No, they won't.
Nope.
Just seed it.
What?
He's from Scotland.
Just seed it?
Just seed it.
Oh.
Oh, the Scots guy.
Right.
I see what he did there.
I do now. I didn't know what he was talking about. And the accent
was
terrible.
I'm not a big fan of those commercials.
Yeah, I don't really love them either.
I don't know.
I love that Samsung commercial.
That is one of the greatest
What's
commercials
that one?
Ever.
You know, they're all waiting in line.
For the iPhone
making
5.
Making fun of the Apple people.
I hear this time we get everything we didn't get right. last time.
I love where he goes, this year they're putting the headphone jack on the bottom. It's like his head
I guess I would find that funnier if I knew all like the inside jokes. I don't
know. Well, it's all like stuff that Samsung already has.
Yeah. Like, no, that's what I'm saying. I don't. That's lost on me because I don't know what Samsung has.
Something is digital, and they're digital. I don't even
know
what
that means.
It's
really not even touting the Samsung phone more than just making fun of the Apple
right.
people.
Yeah, but you know all the things that they're making fun of.
Right.
I wouldn't,
right.
you know.
He lives under a rock.
He's just...
I'm not...
He can break down Northeastern zone defense. Right. You know?
But I make fun of myself
you
for that all the time.
You have an iPhone.
And I have no... I don't know how to use a tenth of it. In all seriousness.
As he tweets during the show.
No, but I think I'm worthy of being made fun of for that. I don't have any knowledge of it whatsoever. I'm not defending
Save
myself
that
at
one.
All. The technology is lost on me. It's just lost on me.
Ed writes,
as is the difference between the old officials and the new ones.
Yeah. Three.
Yeah. she read the email, so I guess they're all wrong, I guess.
Ed writes...
Now the fans are on your side, the idiots, the people who are stupid and don't know anything?
Yeah. Yep.
Any port in a storm.
That's right.
Ed says, do you think it's time...
Look at that pass interference that cost the Packers the game. Oh, it was a fumble here on Darren Sproles, but we can't look at that.
I love what he argues.
It's great.
With himself.
It's great.
Do you think it's time to give the starting safety job to Devon Wilson, given the less than stellar performance of our starting safeties against the Bills? The poor angles being taken are bringing back memories of Merriweather.
I am stunned at how much everyone's on the Tavon Wilson bandwagon. I mean, I know the numbers look good through a couple games, but he really hasn't done that much to warrant.
Well, that was my only point when you made fun of me about the 16-16. I would just say, let's pump the brakes a little bit on the turnovers.
I thought someone who liked the Paul Perlow win-based formula would like the Paul Perlow stat-based formula.
I like what little I've seen of Tavon Wilson.
Two safeties take bad angles on one play.
No, I don't think...
Seems like everybody wants to bench Gregory more than Chung.
Yeah, no,
and if
but
we're on a bench on any one play, it's Chung getting benched.
Yeah, I don't like the play in the middle of the field, period. That was the glowing example of subpar safety play, but I think that the middle of the field has been a problem. I don't think that Chung has been very good, and we know he's not necessarily great in coverage. I am intrigued by Wilson. I'd like to see some more. I think he's got good size for that spot, and he hasn't, I mean, I suppose if we see him every play, maybe we see him out of position a little bit. But I haven't really seen him out of position. I think he provides an intriguing skill set for that spot. I'd like to see it a little bit. I think that the guys you have one guy in Chung who really tries to play physical but isn't really that big. And the other guy is just flat out small in Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wilson might give you a little something different.
Can I make a quick commentary? SportsCenter keeps running. I guess there's a 30-30 call broke tonight.
Tonight, yeah. I'm really looking forward
to it. See, I really have no interest because all it boils down to me is greed. All these guys are greedy because the average American, don't they tell you like you need $1 million or $1.4 million, whatever, to retire on. You're set for life if you have that in the bank to retire. Well, all these guys could have put $1 million in a fund somewhere, cash, or three payments
right.
of $300,000.
That's the tragedy of it.
So screw you. I'm sorry, you blew your money.
Who said you're feeling bad for him?
Well, it seems like they're trying to play on I don't care.
It's just a tragedy.
I don't think it's a tragedy.
Well.
Yeah, I don't think it's a tragedy either, but
Greed is bad. That's what the deal is.
Paulie in L.A. says about
the
safety.
Do a little coke that each way at it, too.
He says we've had safety issues since 07, and he thinks it might be a coaching issue, not a player issue.
You're not alone on that either.
That's a common argument in the defense, not just safety, but corner, too. The defensive backfield, all these second-round picks that never live up to their quote-unquote potential.
Let's see. Grimsy Skiz writes in... A Grimy Skiz is his name. Grimy Skiz.
Oh,
why did
we
release
back.
Kellen Winslow? Is he that bad?
He asked.
And is it a good sign for Hernandez?
He asked to be released.
And no.
Reportedly is looking for the right opportunity this year. So I think if you piece it all together, it sounds like he wasn't wanting to play through the pain for being a bit role player and realized he wasn't going to be much more than that on this team. And
that's interesting. I hadn't heard that two things. Meshed into one.
Oh, really? I thought that seemed kind of obvious.
Well, I heard someone said that he wanted to play more.
Well, yeah.
But I haven't heard the thing about.
I mean,
he admitted not worth playing. I have to will
myself basically through all this pain. And I think he realized I'm willing myself through this to catch one pass a game. I think he's saying if I'm going to will myself through it, I want to catch seven passes for 85 yards and a touchdown.
Here's the thing: the reports are that he asked for his release. But if you listen to Bill Belichick's press conference. Bill Belichick specifically says we had a talk and then we decided it was best if we released him.
For personal reasons.
He didn't say he asked for his release.
Well, he would never say that. Yeah. He would never get specific.
I mean, he clearly backed up the report, but I thought.
I did, too.
Chad from Douglasville, Georgia says, I like the hustle that Bolden brought Sunday, but is he for real or is getting excited about him too soon a bad thing?
It's a bad thing if you think you just found a 1,500-yard back, if you hold him to unfair expectations. I think it's a good thing to get excited about a young player. He's flashed all since we first saw him in May, June, July, August.
The way he ran was not just a, and we like Ben Jarvis Greenell, but not just a plow ahead. I mean, he had some moves.
And what
this guy.
And we talked about that from the beginning, story of, you know, he was sort of seen as a almost a change of pace back. He can catch the ball. He had 17 touchdowns, I think was the number, as a junior. You know, this isn't a nobody.
Yeah.
You know, these stories, you think of a guy undrafted. Oh, well, you know, he's a nobody. He's coming out of – well, no, he has 17 touchdowns in the SEC in a single season.
Right.
I mean, isn't that a somebody?
Right.
I mean, there's plenty of guys that would be like the highlight of their career. They'd go sell used cars. I remember you. You had 17 right. touchdowns back in 2000.
You opened a car dealership in, like, you know,
right.
Oxford, Mississippi.
Right. Am I wrong there? I mean,
no.
This guy has elite college production under his belt, so it's not this great diamond in the rough. And why not? You had Ben Jarvis here for 4 years. Why can't you see Bolden here for the next four?
Somebody on the radio compared him to Curtis Martin, and they said that.
Okay, pump those. Brakes.
And they said, you know, Curtis Martin, he never even played in college. It's like, oh my
Who
god.
Who said that?
Somebody on the
a
radio.
Caller, though.
I think it was a caller.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. When you say somebody on the radio, I thought you meant like Mutton Manansky or somebody.
But nobody corrected him. You know, nobody corrected him.
It's because they probably didn't know. What show was this?
Plus,
I want names.
Sometimes you don't correct the guy. You know, you just, like, let it go. It's one of those that you don't really feel
like
the need to beat up on a guy.
Fitzgerald didn't have the arm to get it there.
And me and Andy still have to correct you.
VIP Strippers says, tell Dumb Andy the reason to watch Broke Tonight is it's done by one of the best documentary filmmakers in the world, Billy Corbin, who did the U and Cocaine Cowboys, among other great
I didn't see Cocaine Cowboys. Is that worth seeing?
I didn't
Strippers?
See
was that from Strippers?
Yeah.
Is that his boy?
No, it's Strippers.
No, that's his boy, though, I think.
Billy Corbin's his boy?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Derek.
He also did the famous Gang Bang 7, Sisters Go Crazy.
He's not. No.
No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I was melding the two industries.
No.
Let's see. I know that it's easier to run on lighter / faster guys rather than when the other team is full of big guys, but there are still teams that can never run. And I like that at least we can run on little guys. If Tom sees
sometimes
they're begging us to run, I want to be able to run. I think there have been years that Tom would have thrown it then anyway.
I agree. That's kind of like what I'm saying about the defense. There's reason for hope. There's
exactly.
things we've seen them not do in the past that they are doing. That's good.
Let's see. Tony writes in. Hey, guys, and Eric, I'm watching the All-22 during lunch with a close eye on McCurdy. As much as I hate to say it, McCurdy got toasted on the first pick. If not for a horrible throw by Fitzy, that play goes the distance for a touchdown. But
Thank
on
you.
The second pick, McCurdy had good coverage. Initially, from the TV shot, I thought he had gotten beat, but he actually had good coverage on that play, made a great pick.
Yeah.
On the non-picks, he had pretty good coverage on most passing plays, though I'd say he got beat cleanly about 10% of the time. In other news, I thought Spike's hit on Chandler was a cheap shot. I love that Spike's leveled him, but if that were a player on a different team, we'd be saying he should be suspended.
I think it was a cheap shot, but I don't think it's a suspension. He'll get fined for that, my guess.
Clearly, our run blocking suffered because Wes was out there instead of Edelman.
Paul, that's sarcasm.
Ooh. Oh, I got it.
CBS should have been playing some porno bass in the background when they showed Brady face mask kiss Lloyd in slow motion. Daniel Fells looked pretty good. He just might be the best third tight end in the league. said this guy has posted the pick that you were talking about without any attribution to PFW.
Yeah, that would be the Patriots themselves did that.
No, it was the big lead.
Well, the Patriots tweeted out that photo
oh, really?
Without saying that it belonged
oh, okay.
to Patriots Football Weekly, that it came
well,
from our.
The only thing I will say.
I know.
It what? Belongs to the Patriots.
What?
Yes, I know.
No. The only thing I will say is that a lot of times photographers are bunched up, and a lot of guys get the same shot.
It was ours that they tweeted out.
Oh, good.
Well, no good, because no one knows it's
the
ours.
The Patriots, but this is found on the big lead.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there are other versions from right here,
yeah.
here, and here.
Right.
Yeah, in that little 10-spot
right.
window. Yeah.
So it may or may not be ours. I don't know. We'll have to look at it. Finally, a game. Which of the following was the best development from the weekend? You can pick just one, and there's four to pick. Let's see. We've got to spray Andy because he's letting it go here. Which of the following was okay? Patriots come back from 14 points down in the third quarter. That's one.
They were down.
Patriots D making plays and not just making tackles. That's two. The Jets getting crushed and looking as pathetic as the Rod Russ Patriots. And finally, Manning 2 sad mush face as Tynes' field goal attempt falls short. Which was the best development from the weekend of those four?
I'll take the defense.
I'll take the Patriots coming back.
They came back?
Yeah. So I would, too. So. Andy's just, you know, dead set on, you know.
What?
The facts. Just the facts.
Let's see. Eric from Atlanta says.
You two done today?
Eric,
interesting
Atlanta,
perspective I've had during
the
show.
On the Brady's FU bitches. Wes Welker was on EI this morning and said the comment was directed towards him and Deion Branch. Wes and Deion were giving Brady a hard time for sitting on the bench. They were telling him to put on his helmet and get back on the field because his knee was down short of the goal line. They kept busting his chops until the refs upheld the call on the field.
That makes sense. That's
and Welker Brady was laughing, and he was
yes,
right in that shot.
Absolutely. That makes total sense.
Right.
Wow. Good
he
stuff.
He looked really mad, though. He looked like Paul Perillo mad.
Well, it probably was when you think I'm really, really mad because I'm screaming like a maniac, but you know, 30 seconds later, I'm fine. I thought that was really close, by the way. Did you see the replay?
Very
that?
Close.
I
very
thought his knee was down.
The only thing that I think saved him maybe was that the guy's hand
that's,
was actually underneath
that's
his
knee. That's what Dierdorf said.
You
I don't
couldn't
know if you could
exactly
hear the audio.
Tell,
but
really.
How could you tell that?
They couldn't tell for sure if
that's
the knee had hit the ground,
though.
And I think that's why they right. allowed it to stand.
Right. Had he been down, I think he would have been down.
Yeah.
It was one of those that couldn't be reversed.
Yep. Those refs. Joel and Merrimack.
No need to argue with that one. He's on my side there.
Joel and Merrimack, that was a good win, albeit against a lousy team. I really enjoyed watching the running game just gash the Bills. I had my concerns with the fumbles and drops in the first half, but they seemed to find their stride in the second half. And even though I'm not ready to get back on the McCourty bandwagon, he made the picks he should have. One thing that concerned me is the pressure we put on Fitzpatrick seemed erratic. At times, he had the whole day to stand in the pocket and find open receivers. But the one thing I really like was when the Patriots got mean, Spikes had some monster hits, as did Mayo and Wilfork. When Wilfork tossed Jones to the ground, I was surprised to see him get back up. Now my concerns with Denver. They have a much better defense and something we will still have problems in our secondary.
That's the greatest catch I've ever seen. I didn't see that play.
What?
James Jones's catch at the end of the New Orleans game. Did you see that?
He's giving you a look.
He plays for Green Bay.
I'm just going to finish this email. We can't cover anything over the middle, and if we don't get any better on that, Manning could have a field day. What do you guys think?
I'm still worried about the pass defense, yes. Middle, outside,
yeah, with
deep.
Regard to the pressure, Andy and I are sort of as critical as anyone, but nobody gets pressure on every single play. Sporadic pressure is better than the first three games. I thought they had more pressure in this game than they really have had the first three games.
Right.
I thought, and it wasn't just Chandler Jones this game.
Right.
Ninkovich had a couple. Jermaine Cunningham got in there. He had a couple.
Well, Bill took
Hightower
my advice
made a nice
and moved
play.
Them all around.
I mean, Hightower unfortunately gets hurt in the middle of the first quarter, but he had a play coming off the backside. I thought there was more pressure in this game than really any of the three games before this.
Are you worried at all? Remember how when we were like, he's going to have five sacks today against Batista? And then Cameron Wake went out and had, I don't know,
eight.
Five sacks or something against Batista?
Yeah, four and a half, I think.
Like, that concerns me a little bit, that he didn't win a matchup that he should win. And I know he's young and he'll learn from it and all that, but that's what he should have done, right? Right?
I don't know.
Yeah, but he's not Cameron Wake either. I mean, Cameron Wake's been around a couple of years now, and he's been a pretty solid
pass
rusher.
Well, he hasn't worked
rusher.
A year on Wall Street when he was out
but
of
he's
football.
Been a pretty solid pass rusher. If you could just put the sarcasm away for 1 second.
You picked that up?
My God.
He's a first-round pick, Paul.
I understand that, but so that means he has to dominate every single game?
He's
every time he's better
he's
than
the
guy?
He's on pace for 12 sacks. I want him on pace for 18.
I mean, that's my point.
Canadian Mike in Florida writes in, I think we're going to look back at this game and say that halftime was the turning point of the season. I think the Patriots could run the table and go 14-2. Having said that, though, I'm tired of the garbage yards we give up when we take a huge lead and then go into prevent.
Well, that was the thing to feel the best about this game, is they didn't do that.
I think we need to
right?
develop a killer mentality like we had that season, which we don't like to talk about.
But don't you think that that's – I thought that was one of the more encouraging things. The game got out of hand.
Right.
And the defense didn't let the foot off the gas.
Well,
I don't care about the offense continuing.
They kept
but the defense
over,
didn't. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The defense didn't let the foot off the gas, and they buried them. They didn't get up any garbage yards in this game.
Yeah.
Yep. So I didn't think. Did you?
We're getting better. Let's see.
Getting better. What does that mean?
I mean, the Patriots scored six straight touchdowns. That means you weren't letting up any garbage yards in between.
Nate in Berkeley, Mass. says, hey, guys, there was a comment made during the Bills game that Tom Brady is not the Tom Brady he used to be. My question is, do you think he's still a deep threat quarterback? It depends on who was out there with him.
Who made that comment?
I have no idea.
I heard the opposite.
Right. Diederhoff said
he was the best deep ball thrower in the league, to which I strongly disagree.
And according to Nate, P.S., redbone means dark-skinned person.
Oh.
So if the person's from Mexico, that could be.
Is it appropriate?
I assume you could say it about yourself. Like, I could say I'm the best Guinea Patriots fan out there because I'm Italian, and I can say that about myself.
Well, my question would be, if a black guy emailed in and wrote, "I'm the toughest N-word," would Fred read it on the air?
Oh, no.
No.
Okay.
Right. Because he can't say that.
I don't know how derogatory that
is. Well, he said it. He read the guy's words.
But that's not the same thing.
So we would read the N-word?
No.
No.
Oh.
I wouldn't read the N-word.
Okay, so then I'm questioning whether Redbone is okay.
Let's see, Tianyi.
You think he used that as a pickup
line? From Vancouver.
Hey, honey, you want a Redbone?
she says, I'm trying to go to the upcoming Patriots-Seahawks game with a couple of buddies and was wondering,
you had a Redbone in
you? Put me in contact with Barry from the OC, as I recall that he mentioned some organized get-togethers and whatnot. Yeah, we'll be announcing that there is one Saturday night in Seattle, so we'll be getting that info out there next week.
Is it going to be at the same place?
No, new place.
Oh, good. So you won't get us lost and say, it's another block up, and I'll go, Fred, isn't this the place right here?
You don't have to worry about it. So don't worry about it.
Get so mad.
Like the time you took me for ice cream, and it was a brick wall.
Nathan says,
I was Philly.
I find it ironic that law firm has already fumbled and Ridley hasn't.
Ridley has. Out of bounds, but fumbled.
But he did fumble.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't count.
Okay.
No, it does. Especially the way he fumbled with the ball on the inside
out of bounds,
arm.
It doesn't count as a fumble.
No,
in the
it does.
Sheet,
no, this is
does.
What I'm saying. It did count because he fumbled and the ball went out of bounds.
Okay.
And it counts in Bill Belichick's brain because he fumbled out of bounds last year and that was held against him.
In exactly the same kind of fashion with the ball in one arm on the inside near the sideline. It was a sloppy fumble.
Sloppy.
And something that was strong enough for Bill to not play him in the stretch drive last year after he did that.
Sam in Chicago says Sunday's game was nice, but the hole in the bucket is still there. The Patriots' secondary is not a deep playoff contender / Super Bowl winning component. I'm happy to see that the game plan isn't relying entirely on Tom Brady anymore, but I'm still not convinced that the D can hold up its end of the bargain against a good team. Unless Wilson and Gregory blossom into shutdown playmakers, heck, just contributors, I agree with T-Rex, I'm not convinced, but hey, that's the fun of football. This team could beat up. Can heat up and gel later in the season. We'll see. Thanks, and I finally signed on the dotted line and have a PFW weekly subscription on the iPad. It's brilliant.
Nice. Check out Brandon Lloyd touchdown photo. Best ever. And if you have a Retina, I bet that looks really good.
Oh, the new one. The new iPad?
Does our app work in Retina?
Sure it does.
Oh.
Let's see.
I don't mean to sound like Fred, though, but the secondary sucked last year, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
They were a deep and they were leading the Super Bowl.
Right.
They were a deep playoff contender. I've circled two teams in the AFC that I think are an issue. The Texans and the Ravens. If you don't have to play both of those, what if the Texans and Ravens play each other and knock each other off? Well, now you're in the AFC title game and you need a play here, play there like you did last year. This is definitely a team that is capable of being a deep playoff contender. There's no arguing
it's way too early because there's so many games and so much that can happen. Last year, we could have said the same thing that Andy just said with 100% accuracy, and then 4 weeks later, Matt Schaub was out for the year. And Houston, to me, was completely eliminated from the discussion because with T.J. Yates, they couldn't beat Baltimore and New England. Couldn't. As Andy just said, that's a fact.
That's a good point. Jacob from Denmark says, about Fred being nervous about the game, I specifically remember him writing that he still thought they'd win when they were down 21-7, so back off, Andy. I did say that.
Yeah, but you did say you were nervous.
Oh, yeah, I was nervous.
Because I asked you about it.
Blog,
I asked you.
I know, but
so you don't say on the blog what you honestly believe.
On the blog,
that's
when
okay.
They were down 21-7, I said, I don't know what it is, but I still think they're going to win this game.
So that's the only difference between you and Andy and myself, is that we're always honest, and you're sometimes you don't. Because I asked you point blank, as Vince Wilfork
and I just
said
I was.
And you
nervous,
said you were, but you don't put that in writing on the blog.
But I still said they were going to win. I put that in writing.
Right, but you were nervous that they weren't going to win.
Well, how could you not be?
Oh, I was. I don't have any problem with that. And if I had an in-game blog, I would say I'm nervous. I wouldn't say I think they're going to win. I would say, no, I'm nervous, because that's how I felt.
And then I'd say, no problem, blowout city the whole way.
I would write how I felt. You feel one thing and write another.
Okay. Lance, I feel one thing, and I'm all right. Lancey.
Yeah, because you feel everything and have all your bases covered,
right,
Brian Moore.
Right, Lance. That's what he used that one on Andy already.
I'm going to call you the human. I'm going to call you the human tarp.
You can't use that on me too, because you use that on Andy already on Twitter. That he says everything before the game, so he has.
Well, that's what
right.
you that's what
right.
you did in this game.
I know, but everybody does that except you.
But you're the human tarp. No, the difference between what the difference between what Andy and I do is even when it comes out to be the same spread at the end of the game, when it didn't go anywhere near the way we said, we say we were wrong.
I was off by 1 point on the difference between the two teams, but I was off by an entire game as to what was going to happen.
I think fans know enough. If the Patriots had won 64-0, you would have still said, "Well, you know."
No, I wouldn't.
No,
you're an idiot.
Don't take it to the theater of the absurd.
Yeah, don't play my side of the street.
You're the human tarp.
Lance writes in, I was disappointed that Woodhead didn't play a huge role on Sunday. Did you guys feel that disappointment?
That's sarcasm, right? I just want to make sure.
I'm going to guess it's sarcasm.
Yeah. John Rooks here. How you doing, John?
Excellent, excellent. How are
you? Do you know any red bones? And is that okay to say?
Red bones?
We don't know if that's okay. So what are you doing?
We had an emailer from Mexico, just over the border from El Paso, who said he's the biggest red bone Patriots fan around.
Actually,
as someone who spent time in Texas.
Who used to go over for the tequila and the ladies.
Somebody else from Mexico writes that red bone is literally the translation of hueso, Colorado. It's a way of saying diehard fan in Mexico. It has nothing to do with skin color.
Oh, perfect. Redbone.
All right.
Got it. I had no idea that's what that was, but okay. That's
The good news is we offended one less person after than we normally would have.
After he was done with all the Mexican prostitutes, he had a red bone.
Oh. Well, see now.
And then we just added that one right back to the equation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Johnny, are you going to be picking nits today?
Johnny?
Well, I think we'll probably pick some nits today. I think certainly you
focusing
can
on the first half.
Unlike the Tennessee game,
half.
You got a lot of nits to pick.
Huge nit in the first half. You don't think?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty, right?
Yes.
But did you guys come to some kind of a conclusion as to really how the transformation took place at halftime?
Well, they stopped turning the ball over.
That was one.
And kept, as Bill would say, turning the ball over from the Bills.
And the other team didn't
stubborn.
Stop turning
the Bills got stubborn and did not adjust.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yep. Probably as good as explanation as any, I would think.
All right. Well, John Rooks here with the playbook at 4 o'clock. Are all your fantasy football questions, rosters are sorted out by the fantasy football champs. We'll be back tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.